It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are, off and running, with your humble hostess having forgotten to play the... Wait a minute. Stop that. Here, let's make sure everything's right.
It's Friday!
I like the whoo at the very end. It is. It's Friday on the front porch here on the Horn. And this is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round. And this is our third full day. Third? Yeah, I think. Of spring? Yeah. And I'm enjoying... We got up to 65 degrees today. It was downright pleasant. Yes. And anyway, in the aforementioned chat room, I was just taking out a couple of notes. In the chat room at the moment, the early arrivers, Irish Dave and Ralphs and Squeaky and Theo. Hi, gang. All capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, Bud Trimmer Emeritus, and Zimmergist Extraordinaire, Roger, who will be perhaps a little bit late to the festivities. He's got a... what he describes as a very non-essential bullshit appointment to redetermine my existing need for a lift in my left shoe to correct the lengthening of my right leg due to a hip transplant some 15 years ago. Oh, those persons from Porlock, Roger. I'm so sorry. So, anyway, every program here... And Ralphs points out, Marquette won! Yay! Yeah, the tournament is underway. The SEC is not looking quite so amazing as they were initially thought to be. Michigan State absolutely destroyed Mississippi State. Ugh. Should be some pretty good ball over the weekend. Let's see. Anyway, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different, so we say thank you to our 22nd day of the month subscribers, and that means thank you to Felicia, formerly of Nebraska, now happily of the greater San Diego area. Hi, Felicia. Thank you. Colin, thank you. And... those are our 22nd day of the month subscribers. Thanks as well for our challenges yesterday evening. Thank you so much. And the fundraising goal as it presently stands, because I made sure to remember and send that to Brother Deacon Asa last night. We were conversing on flat top griddles and chatting a little bit. I think that's going to be Brother Deacon's next next piece of cooking equipment. Told him how much I love my Blackstone. At any rate, though, the fundraising goal stands at $1,760. That's a lot. So we're set up for a, sure enough, no kidding, Friday on the front porch, community-made miracle if we can make one happen. And golly Moses, we need to, so that I can keep everything turned on that has to stay turned on in order to keep the program going. In this case, well, you know, the interweb tubes and the power and the water and the phones. Seems like that's all I ever do. But, yeah, $1,760. Ouch. So basically that's the entirety of this week unfunded and $260 of last Friday on the front porch unfunded. So we are more than a week in the hole. And so hopefully we'll get started on that in fairly short order. Now, there is some zany, madcap, wacky, etc. Stuff to get into today, as well as serious things. But, Kevin from Massachusetts pointed out, a popular concert venue outside Moscow saw gunmen open fire. The New York Times got hold of video showing people carrying guns entering Crocus City Hall, a shopping mall and concert venue. And the video went on to show people wounded on the ground. Kevin noting Moscow attack smells like an own goal by Putin. Blame it on Ukraine. Yeah, I mean, anything's possible at this point. And but then again, everything smells like borscht that's bad in the world right now. I continue to see the conflict in the Middle East as an absolute Vladdy Daddy joint. 40 being reported dead in Moscow, more than 100 wounded. No reports of responsibility. It's worth remembering, however, that the Rifle Association, remember a few years ago when a Russian agent, I know Todd remembers, Maria Butina, who was over here doing Russian spy stuff and was also connected, and then Marsha goodness, Blackburn was connected to a guy who was doing gun lobbying in Mother Russia. I mean, I don't know if you can get guns as easily in Mother Russia as you can here, but somebody apparently got several of them. Irish Dave asking, how about some tots and pears for Princess Kate? You know, Catherine, Princess of Wales, the palace announced today that woman, she has some kind of cancer. She had abdominal surgery back in January and has been very low-key. A doctored photograph was released over the British Mother's Day weekend a couple of weeks back. At least we put our Mother's Day here on what's usually decent weather in May, but my entire feed blew up with Kate's got cancer, Kate's got cancer, Kate's got cancer, and I'm not going to be so crass as to say I don't care, because I do. Cancer is such a horrid beast, and there are very few people I would wish it on. There are people I would wish it on, and I know that marks me as a bad person, but oh well. There are people who in this life, that there are not bad enough things to happen to. I think we know who some of those people in my estimation might be. And by the way, Roger pointing out Jeremy will have to start the porch today, so thank you for being willing to do that, Jeremy. And a reminder, there's a button at the top of HeadOn.live that even if you're not a Skype regular, will carry you happily over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves, with whom we are of late having a rather contentious relationship, but just the same. Some notes coming in over the course of the day before we get into the full-on madness of it all. Let me see here. There we go. I had a note from Cynthia. Hey, Cynthia. I had to take a nap today during the show. Cynthia, don't feel bad. I have that effect on people. I missed most of the show yesterday as I really needed to get out into the front yard and do some weeding. I worked at it for almost 4 hours and barely scratched the surface of all the weeds in my little front yard. And it was hard on my ancient old back, and I had back pain last night like you wouldn't believe. Oh, I would believe it. Mine happens in my neck. So I didn't sleep as well as I would like and had Trump nightmare dreams on top of it. Oh, honey. Running and hiding from him in the mountains along with other people trying to escape him. Not exactly a sweet dream, except I woke up before Trump caught up to us. That's always good. So, short on sleep from the last night, I took a much-needed nap and woke up from my nap in time to hear that another listener, Cat in Ohio, has already purchased a vacuum sealer for your sous vide. Yay! As I also realized, I have a dentist appointment in early April, routine cleaning and x-rays, but it's out of pocket and will put a strain on my April budget, so right on to your generous donor there. They helped me too. Yay! Smiles. Cynthia, thank you so much. And thank you so much to Cat in Ohio. I'm already making plans. Even as we speak, y'all, I have four beautiful, big, thick chicken breasts, and they are marinating in Newman's own Caesar dressing, because Rome. Caesar. And sometime, like Sunday morning, they will go into the sous vide. Brother Deacon Asa has given me a time and a temp that he says will render them absolutely perfect. And while they're, once they're toward the end of their sous vide status, I'm going to start a little fire in the acorn. And after that, I'm going to just put a pretty grill mark sear on those chicken breasts and let a little bit of hickory pour to them. And I have a feeling they're going to be heavenly. I was thinking about getting hoagie rolls and toasting them, or maybe sourdough toast, I'm not sure which, and slicing these breasts like thin, 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 and serving them up with some, it's a local thing here out of Clarksburg. There's a significant Italian population up in Clarksburg from the mining and Shanghaiing days. Or Shanghaiing and mining, and there's this stuff called Oliverios. That's the family name, the company name. Peppers in sauce Olvera, and it's just sweet and hot peppers in a beautiful tomato sauce. And I was thinking that thinly sliced chicken breast with that, and maybe some. Pepperoncinis or banana pepper rings and a little mayo on the toasted hoagie roll. I'm thinking that's going to be really, really good, and I'm excited. Finally finished off the brisket with an epic Reuben for lunch this afternoon. I will never do a brisket any other way than with that. I'm so thrilled with that sous vide machine, Cynthia. I can never thank you enough. And so with the arrival of the vacuum sealer from Cat. Oh, I'm going to do things, y'all. I'm so going to do things. And from Karen, I listened to your podcast about your troubles with that asshole pharmacist. I take estrogen cream and get it mail order. It's so easy they can deliver a supply to your house. I Googled it, and BlinkHealth.com carries what I think you were talking about. I get mine from HelloWisp.com, but they do just do the cream. I love telehealth. Avoid the assholes and give it a try. Love you and your show. Thank you. Well, thank you, Karen. I will look into it. I'm trying to find somebody that will take my insurance. I found out today, I finally did find a pharmacy locally here that was willing to help me, and they get generally lower. It's ridiculous. One vial of estradiol cypionate, which I purchased from a compounding pharmacy for, oh my God, $100 a month, which is a lot to me. Well, the retail price that they were able to find at this one pharmacy, where they were nice and accepting, and $215 a month. And that's before insurance, so I have to... I'm probably going to get to fight with the insurance company, and that's going to be such fun. But thank you for that information, Karen. I will, if it comes to it, I will definitely check those folks out. Oh, thank you, Ralphs. Ralph said your Reuben looked yummy. Thank you. Lee in New York. Nightmare. Trump was chasing in a nightmare. Was he in a golf cart or an escalator, Cynthia? This is on. He couldn't possibly. Okay, was he waddling quickly after you, Cynthia? Not making light of your nightmare. It's just that, well, things can be. One's dream life can be strange. As to cancer, Matt in San Francisco says, I'd pay for someone to give Vladimir Putin cancer, preferably an aggressive and painful kind. I'm a work in progress. Well, the only way you're a work in progress, Matt, is to the extent that you haven't come up with exactly the most painful and awful form of cancer for him to have. And once you have made that determination, let us all know, and we will join you in the hoping. And hey, look, a polonium pellet and an umbrella. It worked for his enemies. Well, you want to bet that fucker stays away from people with umbrellas. Right? So, where are we today? Beyond being in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. Let's check in with the House of Representatives and Mullah Mike Moses Johnson's... God, Matt, it's another case of, gee, I hope it doesn't hurt too little. Because today, after the House managed to pass a continuing resolution to keep the government open past midnight this evening, all the maggots had a hissy. It was because, among other things, they had, the maggots did, some 40 or 41 riders to the continuing resolution. And guess who all the riders were about? Yeah. You know already. Trans people. They wanted to deny our medication. They wanted to deny our ability to exist in public. They wanted to... Well, if you can deny it to a trans person, the maggots wanted to do it. And here's the fun part. Not a single one made it into the budget resolution, so they're pissed. The transes are going to continue to exist and make Jesus mad at America. Well, earlier today, After the bill, passed the House, marginal trailer queen went to that little fraternity room refrigerator of hers where she keeps the little pint jars of pee-pee, as well as the old rancid mayonnaise jar with Moses Mike Johnson's testicles in it. And she brought it out, and she held it up for Mullah Moses Mike, and... smashed it. Well, not really, but what she did do is she filed a privileged motion to vacate the chair of Mike Johnson. Uh-huh. Matt Gaetz did it last year. She did it this year. You know, I think maybe it was a week ago, wasn't it, that Mullah Moses Mike was heard to say that there at the Republican retreat at Make West Virginia Great, big old Governor Jim Justice's Greenbrier Resort, that come the new Congress, there would be some new rules about who can move to vacate the chair. There were perfectly good rules in place that had been put in place under Nancy Pelosi's leadership, but the price of Kevin Craven McCarthy getting to be Speaker was that he allow a gang of punks and thugs and pirates and footpads and cut purses and highwaymen to insist upon a rule that said anyone, any single member of the House could move to vacate the chair. And because he was that desperate, that starved for power, well, he acceded, and that rule carried over after they forced him to walk the plank. And now, well, Mullah Moses Mike's time has come. His hands bound behind him, and him standing there on the plank as the maggot pirates yell, "Yar, yar!" She filed her motion today. The House is now officially in chaos. She said she'd throw him out, or move to throw him out, if he agreed to help send military aid to Ukraine. And, of course, it didn't help that he didn't do anything to the trans people. Oh, my God, Steve in New York. Marginal Trader Queen introduced a privileged motion to cut off the House's Johnson. That's quality, Steve. Oh, they're so damn mad, these maggots. They're about bloody-eyed with rage. By the way, over at the website formerly known as Twitter, there's an AI called Grok, and we still don't know if Leon Scum is actually paying the estate of Robert A. Heinlein for stealing a word that he coined. Grok supports the transes. Lee notes, Lewis Block commented on AI, Leon Scum created Grok. When Grok was asked if trans women are women, Grok responded, "Yes." Good, Grok. Good. I'm sure Grok has since been tweaked. And from Tamara, subject, it's Friday. Hey, Roxanne. Hey, Tamara. Like Cynthia, I caught yesterday's show while drifting off to the podcast. I caught your shout-out. It was good to hear Carl. Sorry about your experience with the pharmacy. I've been dealing with a public dental clinic for a broken tooth, and while it's not what you're dealing with, but fighting for human dignity is always a bitch. Fuck that pharmacist and fuck that pharmacy worker. Much love to you and the Horn family, Tamara. Thank you, Tamara. I hope you're enjoying your Friday, and I hope you're able to deal with deal with your dental issue. Oof. So not fun. And imagine, we consider ourselves a civilized country and we don't include dental and eye and foot care as parts of medical care. Greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, forever in the universe under God, amen. Which reminds me, I had a note from Joy in Ann Arbor because I've been talking about watching Feud Capote versus the Swans. And Joy said, Feud Swans is spectacular. I finished it last week. But Feud Davis versus Crawford is so good that I own a copy and I watch it about every 3 months. I put aside my feelings about Susan Sarandon because her Betty Davis is brilliant. And that's encouraging for me because I'm going to need to do that. Jessica Lange is perfect as always, and the supporting cast is splendid too. I wanted it to go on forever, even if the writers just made up adventures. Don't wait too long to watch this one. It's in line precisely after we're done watching Capote versus the Swans. Joy added, though, also, I'm glad you know that Ken's Thousand Island dressing is the best, because it is. And I could not agree more. I'm not a big Thousand Island fan, but God, I love that. Oh, oh, it's so good. And it goes great on a Reuben. I'm sorry, Brother Deacon. I was telling Brother Deacon what I planned on the sandwich I planned on making with the chicken breast, and he just wrote me back and said, "You're killing me." I can't wait till Sunday. You know, almost 48 hours marinating in that Caesar dressing. Ooh, that's going to be so good. Cutting off the houses, Johnson, Stephen, New York. It says, "I have to give credit for that where it's due. It comes from the greatest movie ever made, The Big Lebowski." Well, I wondered if it was The Big Lebowski or if it was some part of the Johnson scene from Blazing Saddles. Gabby Johnson is right. Well, there's Stephanie Stinkbug. Hi, honey. Given the winter we had, I have a feeling it's going to be a very stink buggy in the spring and summer. Ugh. Okay, a little correction. Thank you to Roger. Marginal Trailer Queen's motion was non-privileged and did not trigger an immediate vote due to Green's decision to introduce it through regular channels rather than on the floor. Political commentators claimed the proposal was a symbolic warning rather than a substantial threat. Well, darn. I was hoping, because see, at this point, given the nature of the maggot majority, Hakeem Jeffries could become speaker very easily. Emilio, I never knew the chamber had a Johnson. How does that even work? We're working the program into the gutter for a fact, and early on, at least it's a Friday. Matt, stop, Roxanne. Stop telling me about what you're rubbing on your Reuben. The girly version is a Rachel. It's made with turkey. Wave, we haven't heard from you in a while, hon. Wave just noting Dune 2 is the greatest movie ever made. I can't wait to see it. I wish I could see it on a big screen. I need to check and see if it's in Beckley. Randy Radar pointing out, not to mention hearing aids, not covered by Medicare. Ridiculous. Nonetheless, the chaos in the house is still very real. They called his spending deal the minibus. Well, it's past the house. And it's off to the Senate. The New Republic noting yesterday evening, the far-right Freedom Caucus is pissed at Mike Johnson again. And Scott Perry, whom you may recall hearing Lou and PA talk about the other night. Well, he's upset.
And what is the left, the Democrats, what are they going to run on when they pass this bill? 22,000 border agents, 41,500 detention beds. 22,000 border agents.
And that'll give them something to run on in the upcoming election. On the other hand, Bob Good and representing Chip Roy of Dribbling Dick, Texas, sent out a Dear Colleague letter in which they said that Republicans should vote against the appropriations package. Dear Colleague, there is an unprecedented assault on the safety of Americans and the sovereignty of our nation due to open border policies, radical progressive Democrats led by President Joe Biden. Question for House Republicans is, what are we willing to do about it? and making sure to be not politically correct. How many more millions of illegal aliens must be released into Merca? How many more Merkin lives must be lost at the hands of an illegal alien like 22-year-old student Lake and Riley? They don't do grammar real good on the maggot side. Did you? Okay, so there was a stupid voice involved. Maybe I better do a straight voice. How many more American lives must be lost at the hands of an illegal alien like 22-year-old student Lake and Riley? So I assume that these clowns thought Lake and Riley was an illegal alien. Lake and Riley was a murder victim. And so he and Bob Good, Chip Roy and Bob Good and Andy Biggs and some guy whose scrawl I can't make out. We ask you to join us in rejecting the appropriations package or anything similar slated to be before the House that will directly fund these disastrous policies and choose instead to stand against this assault on the American people and use the power given to us by our founders. Yeah. They accuse Democrat-run state and local governments permitting non-citizens to vote. That's just bullshit. They piss and moan about the legal attacks on states like Texas, which has spent over $12 billion of its own money attempting to do the job of the federal government refuses to do to secure the border. Oh, by the way, I neglected to mention it. Yes, Emilio, dear colleagues, Antlers, the works. So the Supreme Court issued its odious ruling allowing Texas's usurpation of federal border authority to stand. And in less than 24 hours, the Fifth United States Circuit Court of Appeal said, "Whoa, hold on that shit. Y'all, I said the Fifth United States Circuit Court of Appeals. I mean, that's nothing but a monkey house, okay? That's a clown show." But even they realized that, well, they do have a duty to uphold the Constitution of the United States. So apparently, unless something goes severely sideways in the Senate, we will avert a shutdown this evening. Now, the Hill said it's not just the maggots, although how you can tell a maggot from a regular Republican at this point in time, I'm utterly clueless to sort out. The Hill writing, "The GOP opposition, however, is not just from members of the House Freedom Caucus. Representative Robert Adderholt of Alabama, the chair of the Appropriations Subcommittee on Labor and Health and Human Services, announced Thursday night that he will vote against the spending package, raising concerns about funding pertaining to social services for immigrants and groups that assist the LGBTQ community." There we are again. Because remember, Robert Adderholt was one of three Alabama members of Congress, another member of the House of Representatives, and, of course, Senator Tommy the Tuber, contestant for dumbest person in the United States Senate. We have to say person because, Marsha XXX Blackburn, goodness, is always in the mix, and Ron Johnson, and but Robert Adderholt was one of three members of the Alabama delegation who immediately began barking and grunting and hooting about the fact that a trans girl has a job at the United States Space and Rocket Center in Huntsville that's associated with space camp. Because, you know, you can't be having trans women having actual fucking jobs. Why can't she work in AT like all the other transes? What about the children? Right, yeah. Well, thank you, Steve, for the affirmation. Lincoln Riley, illegal alien. I thought the same thing. My thought was, I didn't know Lincoln Riley was an illegal alien. I thought she was a nursing student. Precisely. They don't do the art of word knowing real good. The fact that I actually, every once in a while, like when I post the podcast at the end of the program, I put it up on what used to be known as Twitter, and I put it up at Facebook. And once in a while, I'll see a tweet that I want to respond to. And I saw one yesterday from Randy Ironstash Bryce, former congressional candidate, I think, Wisconsin, celebrating the fact that Herr Kyle Rittenhouse got chased whining away from a speaking engagement at the University of Memphis in Tennessee. He had successfully spoken at like East Tennessee State University, so I guess Toilet Paper America or Toilet Paper USA. I'm sorry. Thinks that Tennessee is just a welcome. Well, it ain't. Students gathered at the University of Tennessee and ran him off. They didn't do him any violence or anything, but I simply responded to the tweet put there by Randy Bryce and said, poor, poor homicidal maniac. And immediately there was a maggot responding to me and said, what do you mean? He didn't commit no homicide. It was self-defense. Jesus, these people self-parody. They are so fucking stupid. And I patiently explained to the idiot that, well, a homicide is any killing of one human being by another human being. And so consequently, yes, Herr Kyle Rittenhouse, little punk-ass cop cosplay pissant that he is, committed two homicides. Oh, the maggots love to tout the not guilty verdict. He was innocent! So then, anytime they do that, you get to inform the little idiot that there is no such thing as a finding of innocence in the criminal courts of the United States. When I was being taught this, the person saying so said, there is a possibility of a finding of outright innocence in Scotland. But nowhere in the new 90 states of America, greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, forever, in the universe, under God. Yeah, so it's nothing but a lizard brain back there for them. That's it. No higher cognitive apex primate functions. They can barely pick the bugs out of each other's hair and munch on it. Sorry about dinner there in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, y'all. Annette showed me a line earlier today, and it was someone talking about, oh, I know who it was. It was Trey Crowder, and I showed it to her, not she to me. Because the minute I heard it, I had to go and play it for her, because he was talking about the impeachment hearings, and he said, well, first, their first witness was testifying from prison by Skype, and that's never a good look. And then their other witness was Chuckles the Chimp, and his chair there was empty, and the camera panned over to find him, and this is the line that just murdered me, to find him picking Wait a minute. Picking bugs out of marginal trailer queen's hair while she ate an apple with both hands. It's like the monkey with the visor and the arm garters and the pencil and the tongue and, you know, monkey doing math. Because the image of marginal trailer queen just sitting there gnawing on an apple and holding it with both hands were just precious. Anyway, representing Andy Ogles, the Confederacy's answer to George Anthony DeVolder Santos the second, because he says he's running again. Well, Andy Ogles is the Confederate version of him, and earlier today he said, "Well, it's clear that the Democrats own the Speaker's gavel." And they reported that quote at Punch Bowl News, Jake Sherman. Then Chad Pergram at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda said, GOP Tennessee Representative Ogles on minibus spending bill. Some will say that the Republicans are in the majority in the House, but it's clear that the Democrats own the Speaker's gavel because this bill, it's not a Republican piece of legislation. It's keeping the border open. Ogles says that Mullah Moses Mike Johnson has sold the Republicans out, and he's pissed. Saying, Ogles, leadership's panicked because last night they didn't have the votes, and I don't know what they're going to have to sell or what they're going to have to trade to get there, but if this passes, I know they sold you out. They sold us out! The ancient cry of union workers in days past, when the union would be infiltrated by company men. We've been sold! Yeah. I, for one, am pissed, Ogles continues. This bill, if passes, will likely determine who controls the House of Representatives, and this year bill will most certainly determine who the next speaker is. God, Andy, I hope it doesn't hurt too little. I mean, so that's a starting point. They're not okay. Oh, and now it's time to play the blame game. And that is relative to the impeachment. Apparently now it is, and I'm trying to sort this one out, apparently it is, I mean, I don't have any problem with it, but it's apparently Fox News TV Radio Rwanda's fault that the Republicans did impeachment. Matt Gaetz of Media Matters, writing for MSNBC, said that even Fox News anchors now understand this. Even. Sean Hannity initially promised to reveal the most damning highlights from the Bebaba Rubaba Baba Balinski hearing. And then when there were no highlights that actually highlighted anything, he stopped and said, no, let's talk about Biden's poll numbers. Which is patently hilarious. Gaetz said, Hannity did more than perhaps any other single figure to will the impeachment probe into existence. Since 2018, he's led a Fox propaganda campaign aimed at using lies about the younger Biden's foreign business interests to damage his father's political standing. The resulting House Republican impeachment effort has both followed Fox's lead and played out in large part on its airwaves, but it's utterly failed to produce evidence of wrongdoing by the president that would convince anyone other than the network's most fervent, read, rabid, fans. Gertz describes it as an unmitigated debacle. And even Dana Perineal from the W administration said, "They just keep doing the same hearing over and over again, and people are starting to wonder, at some point, do you fish or cut bait?" Gertz concluded, "The big tell that the case is collapsing came from Hannity. He gave the hearing only a couple of minutes of airtime in the middle of his opening monologue. He didn't bring on any of the committee chairs to expound on what they had proven, or his typical legal analyst to accuse Biden of crimes. Instead, he just moved on." So it's the Hannity job's fault? Help me here. Yes, Stephen, New York asks, "Trey Crowder, may I nominate him for a cowbell? That guy's a fucking national treasure," and he is. And then the camera panned over, and there was Chuckles picking bugs out of Marjorie Taylor Greene's hair while she was eating an apple with both hands. I'm telling you, sometimes we're so much better at language than the other side. Steve noting the art of not knowing from the people who gave us Indicted and Chimeras, not to mention peach tree dishes and the gazpacho police. You don't want to fuck with the gazpacho police, I'm telling you. Christopher in Oregon, the house is Johnson. "Are you sure it was Princess Sporkfoot of House Maggot that threatened to cut off the house is Johnson? It wasn't Boobert?" Oh, wait, I'm getting Boobert confused with Bobbitt. Christopher. Happy Friday on the front porch, Horn family. Yeah, thank you, Christopher. I can't wait to hear from you. This from Dave and the Blind. "My right-wing studies, as you may remember, I am now studying to become a right-wing douchebag. In my studies today, the lecturer said, as right-wing douchebags, our job is to breed, not read. As for Kyle Rottenhouse, I think the families of his victims should go after him for his speaking engagement fees." He is being sued, is he not? I hope he's sued for a very, very long time. Lou in PA points out, "Representative Gallagher from Wisconsin's leaving Congress early, and Colorado Representative Buck signed the discharge petition on his way out." Ooh, that is a Parthian shot. But yes, Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin is resigning his position in the House next month, and the House majority is hanging by, well, I mentioned this when I talk about our attempts at fundraising. We're at 1760 in the hole, by the way. 260 for last Friday and the whole week after that. But in reference to fundraising, I also often describe the fact that we are, we operate on the last frail thread of a dry-rotted sneaker shoelace. Well, that's the maggot majority in the House right now. Mike Gallagher, all of 40 years old, went to X and posted an excrement saying, "Four terms serving Northeast Wisconsin in Congress has been the honor of a lifetime and strengthened my conviction that America is the greatest country in the history of the world." Quit stealing my shtick, Gallagher. "After conversations with my family, I've made the decision to resign my position." So, bye. And with his absence, they will have all of one vote as a majority. So the majority is now 217 to 213. And if Republicans defect on anything, how the Democrats vote will control the House. Oh, and by the way, the reason for Mike Gallagher leaving, now he sat on, he was the chair, actually, of the select committee investigating the Chinese Communist Party, and he was utterly disgusted by the shenanigans over Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, by the way, whose vote to impeach has still not been communicated to the Senate. And probably won't be. Lo and behold, Democrat, Tennessee Democrat Steve Cohen had a decent thing to say about Mike Gallagher, an outstanding member. He contributed much to policy decisions and earned some respect for our nation from around the globe. A member of the Canadian House of Commons, one Ken Hardy, said, "It was an honor to meet you when our Canadian Special Committee on China came to Washington to trade ideas on a difficult and important relationship. You've distinguished yourself as a passionate, intelligent advocate on behalf of your constituents and your nations." Butthurt maggots, on the other hand, wow. "Imagine not only leaving Republicans with a one-seat majority, but also your last vote in Congress being in favor of a $1.2 trillion omnibus. You will not be missed!" They're having a rather bad time of it lately, aren't they? And I love the fact that Dave and the Blind's studying to be a right-wing douchebag. I didn't know that required study. I thought it required, well, breed not read. I understand. I owe you a cowbell on that, Dave. Different Dave, Irish Dave. Gallagher has nice timing. Republican Mike Gallagher will step down on April 19th. Yeah. And, okay. Scott says, taking Trump's cribs, 25 on the way. Oh, thank you. That'll get us down to 1735. It'll be really helpful, thank you. And that'll get us started and hopefully begin an avalanche of that will turn into a genuine Friday on the Front Porch horn community made miracle. Thank you, Scott. Thank you. As to the gazpacho police, Lee in New York says, "Watch out, they'll arrest you for your food porn." But I haven't got. Okay, might as well. Full disclosure. Once we hit watermelon season. You know, the good ones. I know everybody's like, "Ooh, seedless watermelons." Have you ever noticed that they don't have much flavor? They don't have that wonderful watermelon sweet goodness? Well, when it comes watermelon season, I'm going to try to recreate something I had several years ago in D.C. at a restaurant called Matchbox. They had a dessert gazpacho, a watermelon gazpacho. And it had a beautiful dollop of creme fraiche in the middle of it. Yeah, I want that. I've been thinking about that. I gotta remember it and see if I can sort it out. Emilio, damn it, Robin, you just ruined my snack of roasted grubs with that maggot connection. Picking bugs out of her hair while she eats an apple with both hands. And Matt, subject line trans gals. I'm worried about all this legislation and such they're pushing through. If they keep it up, it's going to interfere with our secret meetings where we decide where to send all the cataclysmic weather events, not to mention putting our finishing touch on our LGBTIA plus agenda. I mean, we just about got destroying marriages and creating the downfall of society down to a science. I know. And I still haven't been invited to a meeting. You understand how left out a girl feels? What's going on here? So as you can tell, it's been a really dumb, busy day. And I hate being critical of news outlets that are nominally reasonable, but, oh, this is stupid and shitty. NBC, now that this particular woman is unemployed, NBC has decided to hire Ronna Romney McDaniel as a commentator. She'll show up for the first time this Sunday on Meet the Press. And not only is she just going to be on NBC, she's going to be on MSNBC. Gross. I mean, that's some real self-loathing for NBC to hire her, because she referred to MSNBC as primetime propagandists. And it wasn't even a year ago that she did it. On the other hand, some suit at NBC, Carrie Budoff Brown, no really, B-U-D-O-F-F, Carrie Budoff Brown, said, "It couldn't be a more important moment to have a voice like Ronna's on the team. She'll provide an insider's perspective on national politics and the future of the Republican Party." Well, Carrie, there is no future for the Republican Party. It's self-immolating right before our very eyes. And y'all just gave a platform and a payday to somebody who called the domestic terrorism attack of January 6th legitimate political discourse. The intellectualist over on social media said, "Ronna McDaniel has contempt for American democracy. What value does she bring to NBC News?" And another Twitter account called Schrodinger's Litter Box, clever, said, "I defy anyone, especially the editorial staff at NBC News, to find any single press conference, press release, or on-air hit where Ronna did not spread demonstrable lies to the American public. That is who NBC just allocated a salary for. Absolutely reprehensible malpractice." Another user over on Twitter, Pollen, someone named Tom Joseph said, "NBC and MSNBC hired coup participant Ronna McDaniel as a commentator. She had direct conversations with Trump, Eastman, and Michigan GOP chair Laura Cox about arranging fake electors. She could still conceivably be charged with a crime. She's a nonstop liar and propaganda machine about coup events. Head should roll at at NBC." Another individual said, "NBC News has hired controversial former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel. What a disgraceful move, NBC News. You should not endorse a MAGA liar, nor give her a job." And then there's Keith Olbermann. Hey, look, NBC News just hired somebody worse than Kristen Welker, Ronna McDaniel. "Make no mistake what this is. All news orgs think, how do we survive if Trump seizes control and the U.S. goes fascist? Hiring this POS is their unscrupulous idea of an answer." He ain't wrong. A great cartoon, Flavia. Remember, Flavio says, NBC Universal brought us The Apprentice. So them hiring Ronna McDaniel doesn't surprise me in the least. No, it should. I wish it did. Honestly, I wish it did. Thank you, Nina. Love the show, Robin, Nina says. Thank you so much. And so we are now down to 1725 as we try to get Last Friday fully funded, make it possible for me to pay the internet bill, the phone bill, the light bill, the water bill, my health insurance premium, and the property taxes. Jesus Christ. If we can catch up, it would be great. And then we can go downhill to the end of, you know, we got one full week of broadcasting left after this. And, you know, Easter is a week from Sunday. It's also, by the way, the Trans Day of Visibility. And it would be my mother's 99th birthday. So if we can get caught up, it's fantastic. Thank you for helping, Nina. And thank you, Scott, earlier. Thank you. So we are at 1725. And 225 to get funded, fully funded for Last Friday. Oh, gross. Thank you for the warning, George and Coarse Gold. Joe Manchin is speaking on the budget right now about the budget on C-SPAN 2. I don't know if I have the stomach for this, but, well, if it's still going, let's see. C-SPAN 2. Where is that? Oh, doggone it. Oh, and thank you, Kevin, in Colorado Springs. Donation on behalf of all unnamed Mets fans worldwide on the signing of J.D. Martinez. Take that, Orioles fans. Ow. And so we are now down to 1705. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Well, mercifully, I can't find the Joe Manchin thing, so I'm not going to torment my... What did Barbara Bush call my beautiful mind with his idiocy? Oh, and there is... there is a challenge on the table. It's the Mike Gallagher will resign on April 19th challenge, courtesy of Ralphs. Thank you, Ralphs. So that would get us down to 1655 and ever closer to being fully funded for last week. Hopefully someone will jump in on that. Thank you. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much. Oh, goodness, we've passed the first hour of the program. My goodness gracious, doesn't time fly? And we've got some things that we can probably talk about once we get the Friday on the Front Porch group going. So, Jeremy, if you are there and listening, if you would be so kind, please, as to start the group. It would be extremely helpful. And there's Jeremy. And here we are. All right, come on into the room, y'all. Hey, Jeremy. And there's Carl.
What's going on?
And Steven's with us.
Hi,
Carl. Everybody loved our conversation last night. I just wanted you to know.
Oh, well, that's good.
And I saw a story that might speak to you. You know, we talked about your beloved alma mater, Arizona State.
Yep.
I saw a story earlier today. There he is. Of course, it comes from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. A professor named Dr. Owen Anderson was invited onto Fox and Fiends, and he was braying about the lawsuit he filed against his employer, Arizona State, because, well, he objects to DEI training.
Oh, God.
I was told I need to decolonize my classroom, and other professors are afraid to speak up against far-left ideology.
Oh, come on.
I know. Well, I mean, it's Fox News, so what do you want? But I think it calls for some commentary from... this will take me a minute.
Well, that professor sounds like an asshole.
Oh, doesn't his class just sound wonderful?
Oh, I'm sure his students are going to just think he's a total prick.
Like I said, I think this calls for some commentary from another another professor.
Oh, I think I know.
Yeah, I think you do, too. So, take it away, Professor Spicoli.
You dick!
There we go. Always making, yeah. But a little Arizona State news just to get things started.
Well, yesterday when you get me started on music, I could talk about that for just ever, for hours, you know?
Oh, heavens, yes. And we have, this is just too fun not to mention. All problems have been solved in the state of Tennistan. There's no food insecurity. There are no unhoused people. Everybody has health insurance. And all the children are above average. Because the Tennessee Senate... God, these geniuses. The Tennessee Senate has introduced a bill, and I can remember when this thing was a going concern 20 years ago, and the usual conspiracy types. How long has it been since any of us heard of chemtrails? Remember chemtrails, y'all?
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, I was just entering my early 40s. When I started reading about chemtrails, and I hadn't heard of them in a while, but lo and behold, there in Tennistan, there's a bill in the Tennistan Senate that seeks to ban chemtrails.
Wow.
How did
they go about that?
Well, I think just people who may be a little bit younger and go, what trails? Chemtrails. Yeah. So there are things. The air that comes out of the exhaust of a jet engine is extremely hot.
Right.
And when a jet is at 30, 40,000 feet, the water vapor lingers in high humidity and low temperatures, and they're contrails, condensation trails. But there are people who live under bell jars at Ripley's Believe It or Not Auditorium who think that they're spraying chemicals on us. They're gonna give us the cancers. It's just water vapor. But some Lulu in the Tennistan Senate thinks that the Biden administration is spraying spraying chemicals on good, decent Tennesseans. They passed the bill. They passed the bill, Jeremy, in the Tennessee Senate.
Well, just think of all the pictures of K1 climbers or Everest climbers. That's only 10,000 feet less than an airplane flies. The weather is even harsher 10,000 feet up, plus the wind. It's probably 20 below at best at 40,000 feet. Snow, moisture, it's all the same thing up there.
Yeah, and I was, as I mentioned, I watched over on Apple TV Plus the series Masters of the Air, and in the accompanying documentary, they pointed out that the bombing campaigns over Europe that featured the B-17 Flying Fortress required human beings to survive in conditions that human beings had never been in before, because those planes reached a higher altitude than anyone had ever reached before. So they had, you know, they had to have oxygen. They had to have, you know, they were operating in 60 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. It's intense up there. And so, lo and behold, the Tennessee Senate has passed a bill that reads as follows. I mean, feel free to let go of all of the Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis style laughs that you've got. The intentional injection, release, or dispersion by any means of chemicals, chemical compounds, substances, or apparatus within the borders of this here state into the atmosphere with the express purpose of affecting temperature, weather, or the intensity of the sunlight is prohibited. Any constitutional scholars out there want to even try to explain to me how this is even a thing?
Well, things that were, you know, delegated to the National Enquirer and just, like, nobody really took them seriously, crazy shit like that, used to just be in its own little place. Now that is what is guiding Republicans. I mean, that's what's on their news channel. Crazy, nutty,
yeah,
things like that.
Yeah, without there, things that are laughably dumb are now deadly in earnest to the maggots.
Yeah.
Now, meanwhile, that self-same Tennessee Senate can't bring itself to do anything about the ease of access to firearms that, you know, actually harms kids in Tennessee, because remember, it's always about the children. Yeah. Good God.
I love when you do voices, though.
Oh, thank you. Joy in Ann Arbor told me every time that she reads something really stupid out of a maggot's mouth now, she hears that voice. Which is charming, and it's an honor, and it gives me a great big silly grin.
Yeah, that high-pitched, gravelly voice is that SpongeBob meme that I sent you. That's yes. What I think of every time.
Yeah, the one with the nose and the, yeah.
And he's all screwed up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Chemtrails. And people in Tennessee actually sent these clowns to Nash Vegas to make chemtrail laws. I mean, can you imagine the emails that must have led to this?
Unbelievable.
Dear Senator, Dingle Whip. Me and my beloved Christian one man and one woman married wife, Marveline, was a sitting here, and we seen these things up in the sky, and we is worried that the Biden administration is trying to poison us and turn us into commie pinko liberals. Please do something about this, Senator Dingell Whip.
So what about the kids when we caught, what was it, 1, 2, or 3 times now this year, a Moms Against Liberty member in a threesome, which means at some point at least 1 or 2 people are committing a homosexual act, which they scream about all the time?
Hey, right. Yes, what I referred to in the case of Bridget Ziegler as high-key lesbicious activity.
Oh, yeah.
No, the bill, it turns out, was... And I know where these places are. The bill was sponsored by Representative Monty Fritz. He's from Kingston. And not the one that Bob Marley sings about in No Woman, No Cry. See, I brought in a music reference just for you, Carl. And Senator Steve Sutherland, who is a repig-licking maggot from Morristown. And they've got findings in there. Wait a minute, we're going to have to use the voice again, Carl. Oh no, she's using the voice without the weirding module. Truly, she is the Kwisatz Haderach. In the bill it says, it's documented that the federal government or other entities acting on the federal government's behalf or at the federal government's request may conduct geoengineering experiments by intentionally dispersing chemicals into the atmosphere, and those activities may occur within the state of Tennessee. Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
Next Wednesday, because, of course, next Wednesday the bill will go to the Tennessee House of Representatives House Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee on Wednesday. I wonder if this means that crop dusting is now banned in Tennistan.
Yeah.
And I mean real crop dusting. I'm not talking about the dirty version.
Because that is chemical, isn't it?
Yes, it damn well is. It's really chemical.
That's going to start a problem.
Yeah, one gets the
glad
idea.
You covered that base.
Well,
I covered that base, Robin, because when you said crop dusting, I wondered myself what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, Jeremy, I know you're there, and I knew if I didn't, I'd get an email. Am I wrong? Because I don't feel like I am. Thank you.
You cut me off at the pass, or you cut Ace off the pass. You cut someone off the pass. That's for sure.
Yeah, one of you filthy-minded lot. thank you to George and Korsgold. George answered Ralph's challenge, and so that gets us down to, and then some. That gets us down to 1655. And then takes us down another to 1630. We're going back in time now. We've got $130 to go to finish last Friday. And it's going to be a mad sprint to even get close to a community-made Friday on the Front Porch miracle. But thanks for helping, y'all. And hopefully we'll get there. Emilio says, of course they're spraying chemicals on us. Just ask ADM and BP and Mountaintop Removal and refineries and DuPont and. Yeah, those are they're upset about contrails off of. I mean, is the Tennessee National Guard, you know, because it's the volunteer state, is the Tennessee National Guard going to be sitting there with their squirrel rifles taking pot shots at passenger jets flying overhead with contrails? This ain't going to end well. Because I have no confidence that dipshit Tennessee House of Representatives will stop this stupidity in its tracks. God.
Well, crop dusting is okay, but chemtrails... You know, they make you
takes over your brain. You know,
well, yeah. Well, that's that, now. See, that's how they're going to spread the woke mind virus, Carl. and they're putting their gases and stuff out there, and that's what's transing and gaying all of our children. And
yeah.
Pretty soon there won't be nobody to ficky fick and make the babies no more, and then the Browning of America will commence, and the Great Replacement theory will be on.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Dave in the Blind says, subject line, Tennessee Senate Watch Party. Let it be known that in order to protect the children of Tennessee, the Senate Republicans of Tennessee will be attending the Tinfoil Hat Convention at Area 51. This is to be followed by the Conspiracy Punch Bowl Party and the UFO Photo Exchange. Now the Biden administration brings you back to your regularly scheduled program. Oh, I wish that.
Right.
You know, I just wish that wasn't. No, I don't wish it wasn't true, because if there weren't Republican maggots in Tennessee, we would have to we'd have to imagine them into existence.
And, you know, I'm ashamed of Dave. He always leaves out Bigfoot in his conspiracy theories. Sasquatch, a big member of our population. Come on now.
Yeah, true. Sasquatches need love, too. But thank you, Jeremy, for jumping in. You just got us down to 1610. We're approaching the English arrival in the North American continent. And so $110 more gets us fully funded for last Friday. Thanks, Jeremy. Anybody else got anything on their minds? I mean, I've got more. It's Friday, so I got more stupid Republican dumb shit. But I don't want to just.
Well,
I don't want to just, you know, monopolize.
Well, I was watching the Midas Touch just now, and you know that guy Popoff, I think his name is.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was talking about how they are, you know, Truth Social's going public.
Yeah, I've got that in the list too, and I think I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, so the maggots are inflating the stock price because they want to support their leader. So they think they're being really patriotic by doing this. So the stock price started at $10, and now it's like 40-something per share. And it's like, you know, the thing with GameStop all over.
Oh, God. Yeah. And because when I first saw the story this morning, Carl, I thought, aha! There's what he thinks is his out. But the problem is, he stood to rake in about $3 billion off of this. But then, further into the article, it's like, well, it'll be at least 6 months before he can cash in, because shareholders are banned from. It's a legal thing; they can't sell their shares. And now, as you note, the stock is swirling down the toilet.
Well, they did it in a special way when they went public, so they could avoid all the regulations. You know, and they didn't have to go through all this red tape and stuff. I'm really not, you know, privy to all the details, but I heard something like that. I wasn't paying all that much attention, but it's really, it's going to be funny to see what happens when the shit hits the fan on this one.
I can't wait. And it was literally moments after it was announced. And that's part of what makes this so hilarious. Literally moments after Digital World Acquisition Corporation voted to merge with Trump Media, the Digital World Acquisition Corporation immediately hemorrhaged 12% of its value. It started out at $44.20 a share before it pulled a paralyzed Falcon and dropped down to below $38 and eventually clawed back to 3.5% below the opening price. And CNBC said a total of 11% of the tradable shares of DWAC are being sold short, fact set data shows. This means investors holding these positions are betting the price will fall before they have to buy the shares back and return them to the entities who loaned the shares to them. And a guy named Robert Deneau, a criminal defense lawyer, said the special purpose acquisition company's merger between Digital World and Trump Media Truth Social is vastly overvalued, and the stock price will plummet in short order. And it won't be surprising because, as has been said so often, well, everything Trump touches dies.
It closed at $36.94.
Yeah. So that's every bit of $7 and change off of the opening price.
Yeah. Did you see that ISIS has claimed responsibility for that Moscow theater attack?
No, I did not.
They're trying to confirm the claim, but they've claimed it. It's probably Chechen rebels.
That would, I mean, they would be a likely suspect. I don't think it's actually. I don't think Ukraine can spare the people to do that.
You know, ISIS likes to claim credit, though, a lot for stuff. It thinks it gives them street cred. I never thought it was a phone, though.
But the thing about ISIS and even the Taliban and groups like that, they generally do not claim responsibility for things they did not do. They don't want the extra bad press for things they didn't do. So when they say we did something, I take stock of that.
Yeah.
And it's usually for a reason. Look what Russia was doing in Syria for all those years, bombing the people with, you know, barrel bombs and stuff. I mean, ISIS has a reason to strike at Moscow. I hate to say it, but they do.
Yeah. And of course, until I see something otherwise. I still feel like Putin's fingerprints are all over October 7th.
Oh, definitely. But this incident today really makes Putin look like Netanyahu. You know, he was like acting like he was so tough on defense and protecting the motherland. And something like this happens. Showing that he's weak.
Well, it also means that he has to cope with this at the same time that he has to cope with his army of punks, thugs, and denizens of prisons. In Ukraine, as well as possibly go to war somewhere else. Because, of course, you know, the standard military rule is never divide your forces and don't fight a two-front war. And for all, you know, somebody may have just opened up a second front.
Are you familiar with the YouTuber named NFKRZ?
I don't think so.
Oh, God. Everyone should watch his channel because he is a Russian who got out of there and he's living in Georgia right now. And he just got his European visa, so he's going to be able to move to Portugal. But he really gives you the inside scoop of what's really going on in Russia. But he can't say everything because he's still being monitored by the KGB or the whatever they call it these days. The FSB, I think it is. But, yeah, so it's he has so much insight. I would really urge everyone to watch his channel. I mean, he's great and he's funny and he has a great sense of humor. So it's one of my favorite YouTube channels.
Wow, okay.
He gives you the inside scoop. And he loves to mock Westerners who, you know, they're usually these right-winger maggots that move to Russia because they think it's better, you know, that it's a Christian white country that doesn't like the gays and et cetera. And, you know, he's like, that's just a bunch of bullshit, propaganda.
You mean like Steven Seagal? Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. What a joke he is.
Oh, and I mentioned young Herr Kyle Rattenhaus. Wow. The man with the big, giant, empty head, Charlie Kirk, whose Toilet Paper USA sponsors this sick little freak, this little homicidal maniac, to go and give talks, and then gets all butt hurt when people object to their universities being used as platforms to advance homicidal mania. Well, Kirk has now pogo sticked up onto the cross. Tell the boys down at the Emporium to get ready, Dave. This is funny. Did you know, y'all, that liberals are out there hunting poor little conservatives like some sort of left wing purge movie?
Oh, no.
Because they do. And we'll...
What is your initial reaction to what you saw take place last night with Kyle Rittenhouse at University of Memphis?
Yeah, my take's a little different. Not different, but just... I'm used to this. I mean, I've been doing this for 10 years. I've seen this sort of behavior so often that this doesn't shock me or surprise me. I mean, we haven't seen this for a little while at Turning Point USA. We haven't seen this kind of where they hunt you down in the streets and they blockade staffers from leaving and they dox the personal information of individual students. But we have experienced very similar instances like this. Remember last year at University of California at Davis, where I went and spoke there and four people were arrested and they had hundreds of protesters and they were breaking windows and they were trying to get into the event center. And so this is chilling stuff. And the deeper question is, did the university collude with these activists? Because the university has to be neutral. The university is not allowed to favor one activist group over the other. The university is not allowed to give preferential or special treatment to one group or the other. And they might have opened themselves up to a huge lawsuit and how they handled stuff. But even beyond that, it goes to show, like, wait, what is the big issue you have with Kyle Rittenhouse exactly? And, you know, they said, oh, it's BLM protesting it. It said, well, Kyle Rittenhouse defended himself against people that were trying to harm him. And he went through a very public, very intense trial and was acquitted on all accounts. And so it's really remarkable how they pick their targets and why they pick them. And look, Memphis is the I don't know if you covered this. I might have missed this. Memphis is a very dangerous city. It is one of the more murderous cities in the country. It is one of the least safe cities in the country. And it's remarkable to me that in Memphis, what gets the students fired up? Is it, you know, the kids that are getting shot on their way to work? Is it the terrible gang violence? Is it that one poor teacher jogger? Do you remember that story a year and a half, 2 years ago, where that teacher was jogging really early in the morning and she was hunted down? Did that receive this sort of condemnation and these sort of protests? No, almost assuredly not. Instead, it's a guest speaker on a college campus that, you know, gets the entire campus to get basically put into a war zone. You know, a lot of people are texting me. They said, wow, you know, thank you so much for hosting Kyle.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, he's not a guest of the university. It was a hired room by a tax-exempt grift made up of maggots.
Did people come to Charlie Kirk saying, sir, sir, thanks for having Rittenhouse here with tears in their eyes? That's what I want to know.
Oh, I'm sure, of course, naturally. You had to. Jesus.
The goddess of irony was totally directing his speech there.
Yes.
I mean, God. He's talking about murderers and stuff.
Did the university collude with these activists?
The university can decide who they want there or not.
So now the big empty head is saying that, oh, we could sue the University of Memphis.
Yeah. Because of the college dropout.
And, you know, the Kyle Rittenhouse narrative is so... looking for the right word here. Fucking dumb. One,
he's
wasn't innocent. He is a homicidal maniac. And he went to the problem. He obtained a firearm illegally through a straw man. He lived in Illinois. It was bought through a straw man in Wisconsin. He was too young to possess one. And then he went to Waukesha, Wisconsin to cop cosplay, hoping to be able to slaughter someone. And he got to slaughter two and maim a third.
Why do people like Kyle and George Zimmerman get away with shit?
Well, this is the same kind of attitude as when Neo-Monopolis, the ex-gay Nazi, who wanted to speak at UCLA, and USA refunded his money and said, no, you can't be here, we don't agree with your propaganda, and they all freedom of speech. No, it's a private organization, there's no freedom of speech. It's not protected. You're not protected in the First Amendment by a private organization, only the government. A private entity can tell you, screw off, you can't say that here. They can literally say that.
Yeah. Oh, and since we have been talking about, you know, Monday's the big, Kenosha. I'm sorry, Ralphs, not Waukesha, Kenosha. My bad. I regret the error. He didn't live in Kenosha either. He went there looking to cosplay. And now their Toilet Paper USA is trying to propel him to martyr status. But since Monday is the big day, well, Nitwit Nero was grunting about having to sell his properties at fire sale prices. Jonathan Greenberg, an investigative reporter at CNN, who has extensive knowledge of Nitwit Nero and his properties and his alleged wealth, said that if he was to sell properties to raise the cash he needs, the fire sale prices are as follows. He would have to sell 1290 Avenue of the Americas in New York City for $172 million, Trump Park Avenue for $80 million, 6 East 57th Street for $80 million, 40 Wall Street for $48 million, Trump Tower for $34 million, the Trump Tower penthouse for $33 million, and Trump Park for $22 million, netting him a total of $469 million. I saw a photo, it was obviously photoshopped, but I saw a photo earlier today that was absolutely delightful. It featured a photo of the nose of Trump Tower with one of those parking boots on the front on the front landing gear. I giggled merrily at that. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. You can't move your jet. You have fines to pay.
Did you possibly see the meme in the chat that someone made up about Letitia James?
No.
I'm automatically attracted to assets. I just start seizing them. It's like a magnet. Just seize. I don't even wait. He's attorney general. They let you do what you want. You can do anything. Grab them by the airplane. You can do anything.
Oh, that's hilarious. So, and again, if nothing happens by Tuesday morning, she gets to start taking shit away from him. She can go in and change the locks on Trump Tower. Isn't that just a beautiful thought?
It sounds like she's moving on Seven Springs and another golf resort. She hasn't moved on stuff in the city yet.
Well, no. It's not because she hasn't moved, Jeremy. The judgments were already filed in Manhattan, in New York City. She had to go and file the judgment in Westchester County, which she did.
Okay, I misread it. Okay.
So it's everything in Manhattan plus that.
Plus possibly Mar-a-Lago. It's up for grabs too, they say.
Uh-huh. Everything is.
But it's not.
His crappy bedbug hotel in Chicago is too. Oh, and I did notice that Team Maggot has canceled a rally in Arizona Stan, a Nitwit Nero rally. Because they don't have enough money for it. And, of course, he's barking and groaning now. I'll go to the Supreme Court with this. I will. he has to get past the Court of Appeals and the highest Court of Appeals in New York before he can get to the Supreme Court.
I'll fight this all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court if necessary. They can't take away your property before you've had a chance to appeal the decision of a Trump-hating, incompetent judge.
Yeah, they can.
Actually, Letitia's been more than nice to him. She gave him 30 days. That's not customary.
No.
She could have started seizing day one.
But this, you know, it's 3 days before nut cutting time, and he can't come up with the bond money. It's simple, you know. He can appeal all he wants to. All he has to do is be able to put up a bond in the amount of the judgment. That's all. And today he said that he has almost $500 million cash in hand, but his lawyers say he can't pony up the bucks for a bond. Because if he spent all that on the bond, which he, and he's going to lose the appeal, okay? I see Steve in the room with us, and it might be nice to have a primer again on how the appeal process and the bond process works in New York.
This number keeps changing. It started out as $40 million cash. Then he testified to $400 million. Now he's claiming $500 million. Which one's the bigger lie of the three lies he just told?
Yeah,
his lawyers aren't happy about it. About him coming out and saying he has $500 million.
Oh no! Well, his lawyers cannot get him to cooperate.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Steve.
Hey. Real quick, did you see the Swalwell thing with Jordan?
Yeah, I ran it last night toward the end of the program.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Nice to see you finally care about what's going on in locker rooms.
Yep. Oh, beautiful.
He walked out. He walked out covered in ash, burnt to the ground.
The bond stuff with I've never experienced that because I've never had appeals that were that big. And my appeals that I've done were not in that realm. But the way it works is, like you said, it's generally a three judge panel is what you get. And if in the decision there's one dissenting judge, you get to appeal to the Court of Appeals by right. If it's not, then you apply either to the appellate court or to the Court of Appeals to appeal to the Court of Appeals, kind of like a writ of certiorari. So if it's 3-0, then he can appeal to the Court of Appeals, but they can certainly turn it down.
Right. So, you know, nothing is...
unless there's one dissenting justice. If
right,
one,
but, and yeah. But nothing is guaranteed, and that's part and parcel of why this is such a nightmare for him. Because there is none of this that happens as a matter of right. I mean, the way it was described in the article I'm looking at says that...
I'm sorry, real quick. I have to run downstairs real quick. I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Okay. So, you know, he lost in the Supreme Court of New York, which is the trial court level. Anytime you're talking about New York legal stuff, it just sounds weird compared to how we talk about the rest of the country. So, now he's filed for an appeal in the New York Appellate Division, but he has to put up the bond. And if they deny his appeal, then he would have to try to take it to the Court of Appeals, but they don't have to take it as a matter of right unless, as Steve says, there is one dissenting vote. But it has to go through all of that to get to the Supreme Court of the United States, if the Supreme Court would decide to take it. And so, yeah, good luck with that, one person said. Just pay your bills. Another individual saying, he tells his supporters he'll challenge the judgment even though he can't. When he somehow tries and isn't able, he'll play the martyr again, and the fervor in his supporters will grow. So, one person said, all the way up to his Supreme Court, you all know that's how he sees it. I could be wrong, but at the same time, we have to take into account the sage words of Sage Todd, peace be upon him. He ain't gonna make it. A Wall Street banker, by the way, is pointing out the fact that, let's go to the audio for this. This is from our Filthy Morning Habit. You know, the mooch was on this morning.
He first ran. Do you think it gets in his way of being effective on the campaign trail?
It's going to start to get in his way. He's a great compartmentalizer, and he's done that his whole career. He's filed for bankruptcy before and came out of it, so he knows how to compartmentalize. But remember, a big part of his success with his voters is, quote unquote, I'm really rich. A big success point for his voters, he was the apprentice. And so if you're filing for bankruptcy or you're under the gun to try to get these monies together, it's going to be a problem for him. It's going to be a problem for his self-identity when he's selling his product to his people. Now, I know this for a fact because last week he had cutouts calling all over Wall Street looking to find a bond. They were offering 15% coupons on the debt. He couldn't find one person on Wall Street to secure that bond.
You want to explain to viewers why that is?
So the reason why that is he defaults on everything. You know, if you talk to interior designers, architects, construction workers, plumbing people, he doesn't pay his bills. It's always been that way. And so you can't give him that money because you don't have the 100% certainty. I mean, if he was rated by Moody's, he'd be like a C+ debt rating, which is very specious. And so his problem now is going to be about the identity that he presents to his audience. You know, I'm the guy, I'm the business maverick. But if you don't really have the money, like you've been saying that you've had the money for all these years, I think it's a big Achilles heel for him.
In fairness, though, that's a lot of liquidity to come up with.
No, I know Mark Cuban said that, but remember, these are low information voters. They're not as focused on his balance sheet versus not.
They're low information voters who also are super sympathetic to him and see him right now as being targeted by a blue state. So he does get a little bit of a pass on that. My question to you, why doesn't Jared Kushner step up and help his father-in-law out?
You know the reason for that. I think what Meek is on to is he's going to get the money. And the question
I don't know the reason for that.
Well, he may end up getting the money, and then the question is, where did he get the money? Right. He didn't get it from Wall Street. He doesn't get it from anybody that knows him. And then where's the OZ to the money? You see, the one thing when you had Jonathan Greenblatt on, the question I wanted to ask him was, if Trump is tight with Putin and Putin is tight with Iran and Iran has funded him and given him arms and he's selling oil through Iran, are they going to put a herd on Israel together? Because Iran wants to put a herd on Israel. And you know Trump is very transactional. He says one thing this way about Israel. He'll go completely against Israel if it's in his interest. And so my point is, where's that money coming from? It could be in that axis of autocracy. And so we need to find out where that money's coming from if he gets it. Right. He's not getting it from Wall Street, I can tell you that, because declarative no from every distressed lender on Wall Street. And there was a little giggle group chat among a lot of people saying, can you believe this guy's looking for $500 million with a 15% coupon?
Ow. Can you believe this guy's looking for $500 million with a 15% coupon? Jesus. Ralph said, I think the Arizona Trump rally that got canceled was supposed to be last Saturday. I think you're right, Ralph. And on the heels of the news about Kate Princess of Wales, Ralph's just sent this along to me. The diagnosis, and they've been really cagey about it, the diagnosis of King Chuck is an open secret, this story reports, In Touch Weekly, that it's pancreatic cancer. And his diagnosis is an open secret, the report says. And they've given him something like 2 years to live. So Billy Boy has a 2-year apprenticeship now. One insider said, many courtiers believe Charles's cancer is worse than they're making it out to be. Even before the diagnosis, there were concerns about his health. Pancreatic cancer is hell. And the fact that Ruth Bader Ginsburg survived it as long as she did is a testament to her determination and to some awfully good medical care.
We fought two bloody wars to get away from these people. Why do we obsess about these fucking lives? It drives me insane.
Yeah, no, I mean, every time they have a royal funeral or a royal wedding or a royal coronation, I'm like, you know, I'm reminded of, who was it, Denis Diderot? Humanity will never be free until the last king is strangled with the entrails of the last priest.
I mean, I get it. We're friends now, but like I repeat, we fought two hard, bloody wars to rid ourselves of their rule and more what they thought.
Yeah, frankly, I don't care about the monarchy. It's an anachronism, but it's an anachronism that I guess a majority of the people in the UK find what? Comforting? I mean, I really don't know. Oh, by the way,
they have pride in it.
Yeah, and it's, well, look, they tried their hand at democracy, and the guy they tried their hand at with democracy was Cromwell. Do you realize how shitty a human being you have to be in order to make people who hate the monarchy say, no, let's find another king. Anybody, somebody, please. But apparently, you know, I can feel pity for any child, even the children of a royal. Because once upon a time, I was a 10-year-old child who got sat down and explained that mommy had cancer and mommy may not live. That's horrible trauma for a child. You know, there's that old Indian proverb about, I forget which, I know one of the gods was Ganesha, and the other god was maybe Krishna or Shiva, whatever, they're brothers. I can't keep track. But being brothers, they decided to have a race to see who was the fastest. And it was to be a race around the world. And if you know anything about Indian cosmology, Ganesha is this sweet, benevolent god who is represented by an elephant. Elephants are not known for their speed. And so whenever it would be Krishna or Shiva or whatever, takes off and go. He takes off and he zooms around the world while Ganesha just walks around his parents. And whoever the other god comes roaring back and says, I win! And Ganesha says, what makes you think that? And he said, well, I went all the way around the world. You haven't even left. Because Ganesha had just walked around his parents, and he said, no, you ran around the world. I ran around my world. And I always thought that story was so sweet, because it represents what the world means to a child. And I'm sure it's screwing with the heads of Billy Boy and Hank and whoever their other siblings are. But it's got to be especially hard because we don't know whatever it is that Kate has got to be terrifying for those children. And I don't care how fucking House of Windsor you are. Looking at a little one and saying, well, pip pip, cheerio, stiff upper lip and all that. It don't fucking work. And Matt in San Francisco adds, pancreatic cancer, that's what my sister died of. I know, and I thought of you, Matt, when I mentioned it. Matt says it's horrible. The pain is horrible. It tends to be aggressively fast as well, just everything about it is horrible. Yeah.
I honestly think that being told someone you love or you live with, or your mother, your father, your spouse, whatever, that they're going to die from cancer is any less traumatic as an adult as it is with a kid. My girlfriend died 6 years ago, the 28th, of breast cancer. She was told she was dead 5 months later. It's a horrible way to watch someone go, and I don't care how old you are, it's traumatic.
Yeah, it is.
Roger, your camera's on.
And also, I'd like to make a complaint against this Chinese hoax they call global warming. It was 70 once here last month for a day and 60 for a week. It's been 50 for weeks here. The last 2 days has been the 20s and 30s. And tonight through Sunday, we're supposed to get between 8 and 18 inches of snow.
Yeah, you're getting what we got earlier in the week.
And then it's going to be 50 next week and all melt and turn into a flood. So, yeah, climate change.
Yeah, you haven't been able to snowmobile for shit, have you, Jeremy?
I got out probably around 500 miles, better than a lot of people, but unfortunately it ended early this year. I put my sled away a month ago, and I don't care what anyone says, it's not worth pulling it back out. There's just, once the ground thaws, it becomes just a mess underneath. Even if there's a foot of snow on it, it just melts from the ground up. So yeah, it's done, but maybe we'll have better years, maybe we won't. You never know with climate change.
Yeah, I remember,
it could be a horrible winter because of climate change.
I remember the sage words of Wayne. Boss Man Wayne, who lived for a very long time in Vermont. And he said, you know, Vermont has 10 months of winter and 2 months of bad sledding.
That's on par for the last 20 years. I'm not going to lie. It's pretty good. And then the other thing I wanted to say was, come the 8th with the eclipse, Vermont, biggest city, Burlington, at its best, when the college students are all here in session, has a 100,000 person population in the city, including the college kids. For the eclipse, we're expecting somewhere between 100 and 200,000 people to pull the floor into this state.
Y'all ain't ready for that.
When Fish came here in 2001 or two to Newport, it was 86,000 people. They stopped on the interstate 30 miles from Lowell and started parking on the interstate and clogged the interstate and started walking from their cars at the Fish concert. Can you imagine what 150,000 motorists is going to be like?
Not good. Oh, and by the way,
if you want to do anything before 4 p.m., yeah. SOL, I think.
And by the way, we have moved into the third hour of the program. This thing is blazing past. We're trying to do a Friday on the Front Porch community-made miracle. We're in a bad way. It's going to be really awful if we go into a two-week deep hole. We're at 1610. We got $110 to go to finish last Friday. $110 to go to finish last Friday, and then there's the $1,500 of this entire week that's unfunded. It is hard. It is hard. It is hard to make bricks without straw, and it's hard to spin cloth without flax. What is that, Rapunzel? And it's hard to pay bills and run a radio network without operating capital. And I wish I could tell you that, you know, I'm out here leading a life of wild libertine abandon, but I'm not. And everything that comes in goes out, and it goes into the pockets of, you know, a revolting coal-fired electric power company, or the profit and loss statement of West Virginia American Water, or the internet provider, or the phone company, and like I said, I've also got my health insurance premium to deal with, and yay, property taxes. So it's going to be a brutal month.
You just dipped a couple of gallon milk jugs into that the swimming pool with the insulin in it. You know, you could sell it off and probably get as much as Donnie needs in for his payments.
Oh, see, you forget the Olympic-sized pancreas-shaped swimming pool has been concreted in.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry. I forgot. Maybe it's jet fuel for the jet, though.
No. The jet's long gone. We disassembled a Chinese billionaire bought that and had it disassembled and shipped to Guangdong Free Trade Province.
How's your girl living? You stole the Maybach, don't you, for Christ's sake?
Oh, fuck no.
What? What happened?
Had to sell it at fire sale prices.
A prayer meeting Wednesday. Aren't they supposed to pay you for doing that?
Sadly, no.
Cheapskates. I'm sorry to hear that. It's a tragedy.
Yeah, it is. It is. By the way, our kind anonymous internet friend says, I'll kick in $60 if you can dredge up another $60. So there's, if you'd like to turn $60 into $120, our kind anonymous internet friend is willing to double it, and that's awfully kind indeed, and that'll get us to fully funded for last week. That'll finish off, you know, so by $10, that'll finish off last Friday. Thank you, kind anonymous internet friend. Meanwhile, Randy Radar says, that's 2 months of damn poor sledding, Jeremy. Damn poor. I think Randy Radar is originally from New England, so he too knows of which he speaks.
Jeremy, without my glasses, I thought your avatar was a hamburger.
No, it's definitely not. It makes hamburger, though.
It looked like a bun with a hamburger. And then I put on my glasses and realized it's a plane.
No, that is a picture of one of the first female demo pilot F-35 pilots in America. And she's a Vermont National Guard member.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah.
But, yes, it was damn poor. But I'll be honest with you, up north where I do my snowmobiling, once you get above 1,800 feet, which isn't too hard in the Green Mountains, you wouldn't know it was spring or summer down here in the valleys. If they had a foot, they had 5 feet of snow up on top of those mountains. I mean, it was deep. It was impressive. Unfortunately, getting to it was hard to do this year because it wasn't good on the way there.
And, our kind anonymous internet friends challenge has been met. Darlene in Connecticut did that. And so, hallelujah, cowbell. We're finally fully funded for last week, and we are funded $10 for this past Monday. I guess something approaching a community-made miracle could happen in the next 52 minutes or so. It'd be great if it could. It'd be great if it did. I'm going to have to beg your indulgence, however. Could y'all carry the conversation for a minute or two? I just got a text message, and I have to go in and speak to Annette for a moment. Would you please, rather than dead air? Christopher, you've been awfully, awfully quiet. By the way, Darlene said, and by the way, a $40 challenge. So if anybody would like to meet Darlene's $40 challenge, she will double $40 and turn it into $80. And that'll get us down to $210 to go for last Monday. Thank you, Darlene. Thank you so much.
Hey, folks. Happy Friday.
Hey, Christopher.
Robin's.
I'll be right back.
Robin said, hold, please. So in tradition of Stephanie Miller, Rugabagger, 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 Rugabagger.
Well, I can regale you all with a story. And that is the VA has shifted over their electronic records keeping to a new IT, whatever. And in doing so, they've lost a bunch of records. They lost the records where they laid me out on a CT scan type table and very accurately measured the different lengths of my legs and came up with 3/8 of an inch. So when I asked to get some new foot lifts, because I'm tired of going downtown and buying them in a store, I got told, well, we'll mail them to you. Okay, fine. So I get a phone call, and I have to go to an orthopedic prosthetic store place where I go in, and instead of using a nice CAT scan table, He says, how much do you think they're off? I said, 3/8 of an inch. So he brings out 3/8 of an inch piece of plywood, has me put my left leg on the stack of plywood, you know, a short stack, takes a level, measures the top of my hips, and says, yep, 3/8 of an inch is right. I'll be back in a bit. Leaves for about 15 minutes, comes back. He's just made 2 3/8 inch tall lifts that both fit in my left shoe. Now, I'm just wondering how much goddamn money the VA is going to spend to have those custom made and checked out instead of going down to the fucking shelf and picking 2 3/8 inch lifts off the shelf at the local shoe store.
That's a big question, Roger. I thought for a second you were going to say they nailed them to your foot like a hoof.
No. They didn't nail them to my foot. And then the other one they've lost was when I had my prostate problem, 4 or 5 years ago. They did this incredible scanning of my body to make sure it hadn't metastasized. So they shot me full of dye and figured out there wasn't any bone cancer. Then they did some kind of a fancy dye with some more fancy x-ray to figure out whether or not I had lung cancer. And I didn't have lung cancer. Now they can't find records of that lung cancer scan, so they're deciding they want to do another one of those.
Yeah.
I don't
Is that
mind
an all
the
day
tests.
Thing?
I don't know. It's a as I recall, the last one they did a little IV, told me to go find something to do for an hour, then come back, put me on the table, ran me through the tube. And 2 days later said, great news, you don't have lung cancer. So, but it's just real frustrating to me when I go in for a lump on my neck and ask questions and end up, and then for some reason they want to figure out whether or not my kidneys are functioning. Hell, I can tell them my kidneys are functioning. All I got to do is drink 3 beers and I have to get up 3 times in the middle of the night to take a leak.
It's funny you say this, Roger, because Sparky and I have a common friend who this summer went to the VA, and he's a little unhealthy, we'll put it that way, so he has quite a few medications. And he went to the VA because for some reason they weren't automatically being sent to him like they were, you know, for 20 years. He went to the VA, and they looked him up, and someone had deleted his whole medical file in terms of medications. Every last one of them was out of his chart.
Someone
disappeared.
Transition.
He got that all fixed, and then just this week, from a mistake he made, he didn't clean his cat's litter box. He looked over, and his cat was taking a shit in his shoe. And he has a special orthopedic because he has one foot that was damaged in battle, or I guess a bomb. And he has to have a special insert, too. So he called up the VA. They said, oh, that's great. We'll give you two new pairs of shoes. You just have to come get them. He's on a fixed income. He lives in about 60 miles outside of Dallas, so it's a 120-mile round ship for 2 pairs of shoes. They could have just shipped them to him, but he had to spend gas and drive there.
That's crazy. Mind-bending to me sometimes how – and then I go in. We've got a really nice clinic here, nice, new. Usually it's fantastic. I go in, and there's this – all of a sudden, I realize I'm on a camera and a monitor in the room and all the rest of it. And it turns out that there's a physician's assistant that I'm talking to. And the doctor that's my primary care physician is in Boise, Idaho. No, I'm not even seeing the doctor who's my primary physician because he chose to live in Idaho. And apparently, they get to work remotely. But they write the prescriptions, and I take them. Everything's good, I guess.
So, hey, can one of you guys catch me up? I heard some of the spiel about the budget reconciliation or whatever. Can people give me the skinny on is this going to pass? Is it passing the House? What's going on with this?
It's my understanding that it has passed the House. I'm sorry, mic was low. It's my understanding it's passed the House because, you know, marginal trailer queen is having a spork-footed fit. And she's already filed a motion to vacate the speaker over it. But as Roger informed us,
potatoes and coleslaw, watch out.
but
oh my God, I was about to say the same thing.
Mashed potatoes and coleslaw.
AFC.
Uh-huh.
Home of the spork.
Yep.
Yes, Kevin in Colorado Springs. I did. We did receive your kind gift, and I read your message on the air as you slipped the shiv in certain as you slipped the shiv between the ribs of Oriole fans everywhere. Thank you, Kevin. And so now,
hey, Robin, yeah. Put me down for 10.
Okay, great. So that's $30 to go on Darlene's challenge. And if we meet all of that, let's see. We'll be down to 210 for last Monday. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you so much. That's so kind of you. Sorry we have to do this, but it's, you know, it's hard to just, 20 plus years. And it's been a struggle all along, every step of the way.
I know. I can imagine.
But consider.
So hey,
consider
you
what.
Consider a cowbell. You need a cowbell, Robin.
Oh, why?
It's nut cutting time.
Oh yeah, this Monday nut cutting time for Letitia James, and she's got a razor.
Yeah, should we call her the Joni Ernst of New York?
Well, yeah, or the Lorena Bobbitt.
And oh yeah,
he hasn't had his nuts since at least the G6 when he ran to Putin like a little schoolgirl.
Yeah, no shit. So I guess Monopoly is going to have to redesign their board and put Donnie's mugshot in the jail there.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, and you know what? I was thinking, you know what else would be cool? On Wheel of Fortune. Change the bankrupt portion of the wheel to a picture of Nitwit Nero.
Yes, that would be great. Oh, that would be great if they did that. But Sajak, isn't he a maggot?
Yeah, I know. But you know, a girl can hope.
Right.
Oh, and update on George Anthony DeVolder Santos.
Oh, really?
God, Boris Badenov and Natasha? What was Natasha's? Anyway. So he's pulled a Boobert. He was planning to run.
He went to Beetlejuice.
That was good. He went to Beetlejuice. He went to Jared. No, he decided he had originally he had said that he was going to run for his old seat again. Only now he hasn't. He went to X and posted an excrement that instead he's going to run against a Long Island-based representative Frank LaLota. He pissed and moaned. Santos did. The Republican Party continues to lie and swindle its voter base. That's rich swindle. I, in good conscience, he's never been in the same goddamn zip code with a good conscience, cannot affiliate myself with a party that stands for nothing and falls for everything. I will take my ultra-MAGA Trump-supporting values to the ballot in November as an independent. So he's trying to peel enough votes away from LaLota to let former CNN reporter John Avlon win the seat. Run, George, run!
That's good news. That's great news.
Has George not read Project 2025? I mean, he's
one of the good ones, Jeremy. And the funny thing is that that district is not solid red. That district is purple, and it could easily go to Avalon. LaLota said, Santos can watch me defend this important swing district in the November election results from his prison cell.
The irony of that statement, or him, if he really thinks that, which he probably does, is that there's a lot of, how do I say this, not sounding weird, there's a lot of people with a mind to save their own ass in World War II. Call them good Jews if you want. They helped the Nazis hunt down other Jews. Until there's no one else to hunt down, then they became the target. Santos is no different.
Yeah, the capos. And yes. Zonderkommandos.
They helped hunt down everyone in the city, and once the city was gone, they had no reuse, they were gone too.
It's shower time.
Ugh. And of course, you know, at the beginning of the week, we had Nitwit Nero out there barking and grunting, and the Mooch said about his attitude toward Israel and Jews in general is true. He'll change like the weather. And
have we figured out who invited him to the State of the Union speech?
I don't know.
How the fuck did he get in there?
The rules are that if you have been a member of the House, you can attend.
Oh, God.
George Santos must live in a real bubble because he still doesn't understand that people think he's a clown. And that's it.
Well, earlier, but as to Nitwit Nero, earlier he said, any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion, they hate everything about Israel, and they should be ashamed of themselves. He did that in conversation with a no-kidding anti-Semitic Nazi or Nazi sympathizer, you know, Seb Gorka.
Oh, Lord.
And when Democrats pushed back on that ugliness, a spokescreep for his campaign, Caroline Levitt, said, Democrat parties turned into a full-blown anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, pro-terrorist cabal. Sure. And
my one and only niece is married to a fellow who was born in Tel Aviv. His parent, well, the rest of his family still lives there. His father just recently died. And I've got a very good, long-time friend whose mother was a survivor of the Holocaust. So they're Jewish. And all of them, every Jewish person I know, thinks what's going on in Gaza is an absolute abomination.
An atrocity.
Yeah. And Bibi Netanyahu is an asshole and should never have gotten elected, but should have been kicked out when all the protests were going on. And they are very upset about October 7th. So, yeah, they all recognize that what is going on is terrible. Hamas is terrible. Netanyahu is terrible. It has nothing to do with hating their religion or being pro-genocide.
Hey, Roger.
Sense.
Roger, yes. Do you think that they believe that October 7th was a lie hop on the part of Netanyahu? Not that he made it happen, but that he let it happen.
Well, the same way that FDR let Pearl Harbor happen.
Roger, I don't think there's any comparison between the two.
The historical record indicates that because of the blockade of petroleum products that
the
we
Strait
put
of Hormuz,
on
yeah.
to Japan.
Or sorry, that, Malacca, right? Malacca? Straits of Malacca, right?
That Japan would undoubtedly attempt to do something against the United States. And when Pearl Harbor was brought up, the idea was, That's a little bit too far away from Japan. I doubt they could pull it off. But we didn't have enough reconnaissance going on in the Pacific to actually know that the aircraft carriers had gotten as close to Hawaii as they did. And that is the only reason I'm making a reference, is that there was some rumbling of a possibility, but could not be verified.
Well, and the reason I said what I said, Roger, is because in the case of Israel and Psycho Baby, they actually had the Hamas plans.
Correct. Anyhow, leaving that aside,
yeah.
The Jewish people that I know are appalled at the entire situation. They don't think there's any good guys, and there's lots and lots of bad guys. And in the case of my niece's husband, what he really feels sorry for are the soldiers of the Israeli Defense Force that are following orders.
Yeah, it seems like there's been a few My Lai massacres over there.
Who's worse, Bibi or Bush Jr. having a note saying Bin Laden determined to strike within the U.S. and putting it in his desk and saying, oh, fuck it, it won't happen, at the very best?
That's not a bad comparison either.
No, and remember, he gave the Hart-Rudman report that detailed weaknesses in airport security came out in, like, March, and he handed it off to Brownie at FEMA.
Doing a hell of a job, Brownie.
Doing a hell of a job.
Brownie's most responsible job prior to that had been head of the Arabian Horse Association.
Yes.
And I always ask people, because we have a short memory in this country, unfortunately, across all spectrums, when was the first and only ever gun grab made in America?
Are you referring to Ronald Reagan in California?
No, much later than that.
The Fast and Furious?
No, it was in New Orleans. Bush seized the guns of black people because he thought they were shooting at the helicopters hovering overhead.
Oh, yeah.
He gave them back, but it was a very, very, very racist thing to do. Said the black people are doing this because we're letting them drown.
Well, going back for a second to Nitwit Nero's remarks on Jewish people, I find it interesting that a couple of Republicans found their voices, and they both came from swing districts. Representative Lori Chavez de Remmer from Oregon was inquired of by Axios and sent a statement saying that Trump has a First Amendment right to say whatever he wants, but I know many of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle are passionate supporters of Israel and the Jewish people. And then Mark Molinaro of New York said, I represent a district with a significant Jewish population. They, like every American, have a right to their opinions, religion, and vote. And then the maggots jumped out and said, far too many elected Democrats are willing to throw Israel under the bus in order to appease pro-Hamas leftists, including Senator Schumer. That's Anthony Desposito from New York, a maggot. And he is super vulnerable in November. And Mark Garcia of California, who's also vulnerable, said, I think a lot of Jewish voters have felt like the Democrat Party. Notice how they all stay on message and say Democrat Party. Has abandoned them on this issue, and I think he's trying to reflect that. On the other hand, there was Mike Lawler of New York, another maggot, who, when asked about what he said, just waved his hand. I'll worry about it tomorrow. And Ken Calvert, a Republican from California, said, I don't have any thought on it. I've been too busy trying to get these appropriations bills done.
Is that to indicate that a maggot can't walk and chew gum?
Among other things. I'm too busy doing the business of the people.
I hate to say it, Trump was right. He just wasn't right in the way he said it. There is going to be a bloodbath in this election. It's all the Republicans. They're going to pay for everything done the last 4 years. Both sides. Senate and the
House. Those 10 seats.
Mark my words.
Those 10 seats are gone from the Republicans. The 5 in New York and the 5 in California. And those are swinging right back blue.
And most of the damage will have been done by reversing Roe versus Wade. Everything else is trivial. That's going to destroy them this year.
Well, and there's a little bit of good news. I mean, I think there's a decent chance of taking back the House. We've worried a lot about the Senate, though, because it's, you know, we got to defend 20 seats and they got to defend 13. But lo and behold, the polling data is looking a little more favorable. And Moscow Mitch is feeling a little like a dog trying to pass a peach pit. So 1,000 voters polled between March 12th and 15th in Arizona stand found 44% of Arizona voters in support of Ruben Gallego, 40% supporting maggot-brained Carrie Lake, and it was plus or the margin of error there was plus or minus 3 points. In Michigan, Alyssa Slotkin is leading Mike Rogers 41% to 39% for the Republican Rogers. In Pennsylvania, Bob Casey versus Dave McCormick, 45% support Casey, 41% support McCormick. And Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, is in trouble in Texas.
Oh, I love it.
Me too.
Yes.
Especially beating his head on a pike. And it would look really good on a pike.
And yesterday, that just absolutely Antarctic shade that the state senator from California, from San Francisco, Steve Weiner, unloaded on Ted Cruz a couple of days ago on X, when Cruz was babbling on like an idiot. No, he is an idiot, not like an idiot.
Yeah.
And all Steve Weiner said back to him was, "You remember when we were classmates together in Harvard and everybody hated your guts?"
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Just remember, once Speaker John Boehner dedicated a whole ending of a chapter to Ted Cruz with the long one line, and to you, Ted Cruz, fuck you.
I've heard that Ted Cruz and Matt Gaetz are basically the twin, you know, doppelgangers. Everyone hates Ted Cruz and everyone detests Matt Gaetz.
For good reason.
Yes. Pretty detestable people.
But at least Matt Gaetz, he's good for one thing. Showing movies on his forehead.
Cowbell.
Yeah, I was already reaching for it.
Am I the only one that finds it odd that all of these people actually look like villains, superhero villains?
Yeah, they do.
I think Charlie Kirk looks like that character in Dick Tracy who's got the really big head and the tiny face.
Right.
I don't know the name of it. Of the character. Prune face. That's what he looks like to me.
No, not prune.
No, he has a big head and his face is in the middle, and it's like small.
Yeah, it's real tiny. Just
I was thinking of Third Rock from the Sun and John Lithgow taking a call from the big giant head.
And so Charlie Kirk is a defective Mr. Potato Head. That's what you're saying.
This is something I brought up.
Pieces won't fit.
Yes. Why do we only ever see one picture of Eileen Cannon?
probably because that's her official judicial portrait.
Yeah, but other people, you'll see them, like, you know, in the courtroom or like a picture of her.
Well, not with a, not necessarily with a federal judge. I mean, yeah, state court or whatever, but no cameras, no cameras in federal courts.
I was starting to think she was an AI.
Ooh. And that would be something.
Wait, AI Lean Cannon? Oh.
Yeah. That explains what you did there. I see what you did.
And
I mean,
y'all,
only
wait,
one photo of her ever appeared.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, you're right, Matt. I got it wrong. It's Scott Wiener. And yeah, he burned Raffaelito right to the ground.
No relation to Anthony?
No, and that was the fundamental mistake that he used, that Cruz used, was like, yeah, remember when you were thrown out of Congress for exposing yourself in pictures? I thought he was talking about Anthony Weiner, but it was his classmate.
Well, the one he's thinking dumbass. Of is ironically named, it's Littleface.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little Brain, Pea Brain, supervillain.
But tell me Charlie Kirk doesn't look like that guy, Jeremy.
Yeah, hey, no, there is. Thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs just sent me Dick Tracy villains.
No, the supervillain.
Yeah, super Littleface.
Well, do you remember when AOC was grilling Baba Booey? And,
Yeah, I thought about that too. Baba Booey.
Yeah, and she kept on trying to get him to say what crime was committed by Biden. And he's like, oh, everything. And then he's like, well, RICO. And she said, RICO is not a crime. It's a category of crime. And so anyway, later on, Ted Cruz on X thought he was Mr. Smarty Pants. And he thought he was correcting AOC. And then everybody jumped on his ass and told him how stupid he was. Like, how does one go about and commit RICO?
Right.
How about Moskowitz doing his whole interrogation in a Putin mask?
Well, and you know what? If he were smart, his response would have been, "You don't have to commit a crime for Congress to impeach you."
Yeah, that's but he's right. Not smart.
No. And then, I mean, Jesus, you know, this feces, monkey feces throwing Congress, right, or House. I mean, the star witness, they have to bring him in from Zoom from the penitentiary. I mean, you couldn't write this.
Pathetic.
Oh, and we have a Matt Schlapp. Schlappy Matt.
Oh, boy,
update.
Schlappy. Schlappy alert.
There is reporting that indicates that he's getting close to a settlement with Republican campaign operative Carlton Huffman for allegedly pummeling. Now, this is the first time I've seen pummeling Huffman's crotch.
Yeah, it was pummeling. He was pummeled, yes.
Wow.
That doesn't sound fun.
I'll huff it, I'll puff it, I'll blow your house down.
He's like, I know I can get it hard. I know I can. Well, I knew my gaydar went off on Matt Schlappy long before this happened.
Well, Matt Schlappy's favorite saying is, when in doubt, pound it out.
Oh! He shoots, he scores.
He's got a fistful of schlaps.
Yuck. By the way, we got 20 minutes left in the program. $30 to go to finish Darlene's challenge. Please don't let that pass by. And that will get us down to $210 to go for this past Monday as we head toward the coming Moran Monday. and what could turn into very quickly the worst fundraising hole we have ever known. Because if it goes as badly as it has this week, we could be looking at closing out March $3,000 in the hole. 2 full broadcast weeks behind. So we need to get done with Monday, and that starts with $30 more to finish off Darlene's challenge. I can't emphasize enough how important it is, because with the arrival of my property tax bill, what was bad became horrifying.
Why can't you people be more like maggots? Ration off your insulin here. Stop taking your medication. Send $5 of your last money so you can't eat. Come on.
Stop that, Jeremy. We don't do that here.
Oh, what about, like,
just trying to help. They sold the Maybach. I'm still mad about that.
If you must know, they came and took the Maybach, okay? I'm not proud of it. I don't like talking about it. I cried that day. Not nearly as much as Annette cried when they came and took her masseuse, but masseur, I'm sorry.
The pool
is that
boy?
The pool boy, or is that a whole different position?
That's a whole different position. Now stop that.
Well, give yourself a cowbell for playing along with my childish, please.
Thank you, and Ralphs, thank you for jumping in, dear. So now we are. $15 to go. Or I'm sorry, $14 to go on Darlene's challenge.
I just put in 10.
Oh, thank you, Carl. So $4 to go on Darlene's challenge. And $4. And if somebody did $14, we'd be down to $200 to go for last Monday. Okay. And so we are now 186 to go on last Monday. Thank you, dear anonymous friend. Thank you so much.
Hey, Robin. Yes, Roxanne.
Yeah, anything's fine. Just don't call me late for dinner.
Yeah. Okay. I would like to do a lot more, but I'll do a $10 challenge. I just, right now, things are a little tight right now.
No, I understand. Oh, thank you, Steve. So there's a chance to get down to 166 to go on Monday. And hopefully we can keep it from being as grim as it seems. Thank you, Steve. So Steve's going to double the next 10 bucks that comes in the next 16 minutes and change. So, Steve, I know you said you hadn't done asset forfeitures, of this scale. I dare say there's not a lot of lawyers in New York who have.
Right. Probably not.
Do you think she'll get busy right away come, I guess, close of business Monday?
I don't see why not. I mean...
I guess my next question is, what does that look like? Does she come and padlock the doors? Does she post a notice of a sheriff's sale on the courthouse steps?
This is all new territory for me. I'm trying to think when you seize. She would probably have to probably move the court to direct a sale. They may have to get a what are they called? It's not called in New York a referee. I can't remember. There's a name for it. When you sell real property.
A trustee.
No, No, if there's a court person who does a, I guess it is a referee who does a, who figures out what something is worth. Like in a foreclosure, it's called an order of reference, and they refer it to a referee who figures out, okay, here's what's owed, here's what this is worth. Because what they'll need to do is they'll need to find out any liens that may be against any of these properties, and see based upon that, in the instance where they sell it, what would they actually get in satisfaction of the judgment? I mean, if they're, you know, if you've got liens on a property, you know, $100 million property, you got, you know, $30 million in liens, then it would only be $70 million, but they would need someone to go and calculate that. Unless I would suspect that she's already got that process in place. I just don't know.
Well, but wasn't
I do know
it,
I do.
Hasn't it already happened that when the judgment was not the penalty phase, but the liability phase trial, when that was completed, I believe there was a referee appointed to prevent him from doing any shenanigans.
Yes.
With his assets.
Truth.
Yes. So that lady, this week.
That lady.
That's a different thing. That's a different.
Knows well, where I mean, she his may. She bank may, accounts yeah. are, and what yeah, all of them know. Are, and I right. would expect Letitia James first thing is to go after any cash assets in any bank accounts anywhere that I think they called her a referee has knowledge of.
Special and master.
Yes, what she did, yeah. But she did was what she did was a little different. She was to make sure that I don't know if they've calculated. And you know what you just said, Roger, what makes that so beautiful is when you put money in national banks, he might say his money is on deposit in Citibank in Florida, but because Citibank is here, she could levy his bank accounts in Florida from here. But then what would happen is you I got to think I did this. It's been a long time since I've done this, since I avoid litigation like the plague now. You have a. There is a post. It's a post judgment law practice. It's you basically levy the account, and then once the accounts are you freeze the account, and then once the account's frozen, then you have to for a bank account, then you have to make what's called a turnover motion, in order to actually seize the money. So first you freeze it, and then you get it turned over on a. Property. I mean, what this was in essence be, it probably would be like a foreclosure. But you jump to the end because it's only a matter of determining what's owed. Well, they know what's owed, but determining on a particular property what its value may or may not be, how much is owed, if there's liens or there's mortgages on that property, and then getting a sale of it. I don't think it's going to be like, you know, she's going to show up tomorrow and say, okay, lock the doors. You know, because the other thing too is that some of these properties, they're hotels. So there's people who work there. I don't know this process. At least I don't think I do. And if I do, it's been a long time since I've dealt with it, so I've probably forgotten, if that makes any sense.
But doesn't it make sense that she would go after the most liquid assets first, namely the bank accounts?
Of course. Yeah, bank accounts, yeah.
It was either Keith Overman or Stephanie Miller who had – if it was Keith, it was Keith himself or one of her guests – had said in the state of New York, and particularly in the city of New York, the sheriffs are contracted to deliver any seizure notices or anything like that. And part of the contract, and this is the beauty for the sheriff's department, is they get 5% of the overall
proceeds. Oh, you're damn right.
It's not the sheriff.
Wow.
It's not the sheriff.
It isn't?
It's not the sheriff. They're called – no, they're called – yeah, there's – if you ever read about this, there's a huge controversy that it's a private individual. They're called marshals. They have a city they have a marshal, and these are private contractors who seize assets and do that type of thing. There's a lot of controversy because these people are basically scumbags and like loan sharks. And they make, I mean, they make.
Yeah, I can see where there would be controversy, but in this case, doesn't it seem just that a scumbag would take away money and assets from another scumbag?
Oh yeah.
And by the way,
I need to
do some calculating here. Thank you, Clarence. Clarence answered your challenge, Steve, and a little and okay. Some more, taking us down to 161. And then, let's see, Jessica jumped in, taking us down to 151. Thank you, Jessica. And TJ jumped in and took us down to $91 to finish Monday. Thank you for jumping in like this, y'all. I appreciate it so much. Dave in the Blind said, here you go. I owe Christine some cash, and I consulted my financial wizards. I have enough. Here's 30. Hope it helps. Thank Christine. Thank you, Christine. Thank you so much. So we're down to 109 to finish last Monday. And thank you, Raymond. We are now below $100 to finish last Monday. And in fact, we are at $94 to finish last Monday. So that if we can do 94 more bucks, we will not be a full week behind when we get to Moran Monday, 3 days from now. A couple of notes coming in. I want to make sure I didn't miss anybody. TJ, thank you, and thanks as well. Like I said, to Raymond, thank you. And so, we're down to 61. See, the math got me. We're down to 61 to go. Darlene just said, I finally heard how Mika pronounces Israel. You're right, Roxanne. She pronounces it as you say. I am of her mindset, though, read Monday. Something's going to happen to bail his ugly orange ass out, and we aren't going to know exactly who or whom owns him. I hope Mika and me are wrong, but at least he's suffering in the meantime. Stoke the ... Mm-hmm. Ain't gonna make it. And a couple of other notes. Brendan, FDR and Pearl Harbor. I disagree strongly with Roger about FDR letting Pearl Harbor happen. At the time, there was intelligence consensus that the Japanese were going to attack, but where was unknown, as the likely areas covered a vast expanse of Southeast Asia and large areas of the Pacific. Defense preparations were hampered by and large by the Republican-leaning generals and admirals like MacArthur in the Philippines and Husband E. Kimmel at Pearl Harbor. MacArthur actually dismissed warnings with idiotic remarks like, and I paraphrase, the Oriental mind is not capable of planning such an attack. God, he was so awful.
I would like to jump in here and reiterate the fact I did not say that FDR knew that Pearl Harbor was going to happen and let it happen. I stated that he was aware that the Japanese would be doing something in retaliation for our fuel blockade to Japan. I never, ever in my life have believed that FDR knew that the bombing was going to happen at Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, right, because, I mean, there's really no evidence of that. And the other thing that plays into it is the Japanese had a northern strategy and a southern strategy. And it was all run by the admirals and the like and the generals. And part of what caused Pearl Harbor to happen was the fact that the northern strategy, which was basically Manchuria, got absolutely whacked by the Soviets, which compelled them then to turn to their southern strategy, which was, well, Pearl Harbor. What was the code word to get it all started? Climb Mount Tanaka?
and then Torah, 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 attack, attack, attack. Yeah. Thank
you, everybody. I just wanted to jump in real quick. I just turned on MSNBC, and I don't know if you saw this, but Sporkfoot has started a motion to get rid of
Mullah Moses Mike. Yeah. Talked about that at the top of the program.
Oh, did you? I didn't hear that.
But she didn't introduce it from the floor, so it's not a privileged motion, so it's not going to grind everything to a halt. It's more of a way, it's more of her looking at Mullah Moses Mike and saying, nice speakership you got there. Be a shame if something happened to it.
Okay. Well, sorry for interrupting.
Oh, you're fine, Carl. You're absolutely fine. Ralph said, I don't need to get Lassie and Kayla. Not yet. If we can do 61 more bucks, we're done with Monday and staying just a week behind, or 4 days behind is better than a full week. We finally caught up with last week, last Friday. We got $61 to go on Monday, and this past Monday, and that's a huge thing if we can just knock out that last 61 bucks. On the way out the door, one other thing, and I can't wait to, okay, this is one I can't wait to read until I'm off the air because, well, just because of the headline. Steve, sorry. Headline from Time Magazine, the U.S. faces the same risks ancient Rome faced in Caesar's day. How do I not? I got to. Kalkin Gol, Lou reminds us, where Zhukov made his name in 1939. And it was kind of a get back too, backsies, because the Japanese had so humiliated the Russians at the earliest, about 30 years before, 40 years before, in the Russo-Japanese War, the Russians thought they were just going to roll over Japan, and Japan whipped their ass. There's actually a fascinating, it's hard to find it in its full form, but there's a fascinating account written by the author John Fox Jr., who was actually a war correspondent in the Russo-Japanese War. I've read it. I read it in its incomplete form. He would go on to write Appalachian romances that became huge bestsellers all over the country. Trail of the Lonesome Pine, Little Shepherd of Kingdom Come. There are other titles that don't come immediately to mind. Interestingly, the setting for Little Shepherd of, Trail of the Lonesome Pine, that entire area has been blasted to nothingness by the coal companies with mountaintop removal. So everything he describes just about in that novel doesn't exist anymore. So I'm going to read the Rome article. And I think I'm going to disagree with a lot of it because there's a paragraph that said, over his early career, Caesar had shown little respect for the law and constitutional norms, but neither had his conservative opponents. Really? Okay, well, we'll give that. But this is too fun not to share. We have, from time to time, talked about Candio, the right-wing pick-me black woman who was a colleague of Matt Walsh and Ben Shapiro and Michael Knowles. And, well, she's been let go over at, what is it, the Daily Caller? Daily Wire. I can't keep these right-wing cesspits separate or sorted. But anytime, and I know, Steve, in New York, this will resonate with you, anytime your athletic director at a university comes out and says, no, we have complete confidence in Coach Stumblebum, and we look forward to many winning seasons with him. Well, that's when Coach Stumblebum knows to start packing his fucking bags. because he is out. Well, the over at the Daily Wire, the head honcho there said, oh, her job is secure. She's not going anywhere. Well, now she's gone. And she had the nerve to post, yeah, the rumors are true. I'm free at last. Really? And the whole reason that that the relationship fell apart, you know, for the longest time, I thought that Candy O was just little Benny Dry Wife Shapiro in blackface drag. Because they talked at the same rate. They said the same things. But after October 7th, everything went sideways for those two. She'd been playing footsie with anti-Semitism for a while. And, of course, little Benny Dry Wife Shapiro pretends to be an observant Jew. You know, he's one of the genocide. He's one of the ones who supports genocide. And those two have been fighting since October 7th. Back in November, she said, "There is no justification for a genocide. I can't believe this even needs to be said or is even considered the least bit controversial to state." And that was after the IDF started massacring Gaza. And little Benny Dry Wife Shapiro said, "Her behavior during this has been disgraceful and without a doubt." I'm sorry, my voice was too low for that. "Her behavior during this has been disgraceful and without a doubt." And then Candy O doubled down, saying, for instance, that there's a sinister Jewish gang in Hollywood with a fringe minority of Jews who are evil Marxists who are trying to gain political power. And went so far as to say that Rabbi Shmuley Boteach is drunk on Christian blood. Yep, she went there. And, well, gosh, I hope her landing isn't soft. I hope she lands.
You know,
we
haven't heard from.
I hope she lands like a sack of wet cement. There, I said it.
Hey, we haven't heard from Steven Crowder in a long time. What the hell happened to him? Is he still making gobs and gobs of money?
He got deplatformed at one point, and then there's the issue of his divorce when people found out how shabbily he treated his pregnant wife.
Yeah, we talked about that here a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if he's been tossed into the dustbin of history, it'd be perfectly fine with me.
Oh, and you remember during the State of the Union when President Biden name-checked the Supreme Court and said, "Y'all said that women have political power. Well, you're about to find out how much." Well, there's a Republican who has been mentioned as being a moderate. I mean, we all know there's no such thing. But Don Bacon of Nebraska is in trouble. And now, with women in Nebraska being not at all pleased with having their rights to bodily autonomy stripped. Well, Don Bacon quietly, ever so quietly, had his team on his campaign team tweak his campaign website. At one point, it had language on it that said, "Don Bacon will always fight to defend the right to life." It's not there anymore.
And there's an entire section that's just poof gone. That touted the perfect ratings he got from woman hating outfits like the Susan B. Anthony List, National Right to Life, and the Faith and Freedom Coalition, and an endorsement from the Nebraska Family Alliance. Because him scared of the little ladies in Nebraska.
Hey, Robin, you brought up Carrie Lake earlier. You've heard about her rehabilitation tour that she's doing around Arizona?
Oh, no. What? How do you rehabilitate her?
Oh, she apologized profusely for her comments about John McCain.
Yeah, but she's still... But she's still doubling down on being an election denier.
She can't wipe that clean.
She can't.
She's trying to moderate herself.
She can't get that stench off of her.
No.
But yeah, and you know, if she really believes that, then she should not be running for Senate because she is the governor. And you can't run for both at this moment. She said she was the duly elected governor, so she can't. Okay, she can't run for Senate then.
Right.
Oh, that's clever.
They should not allow her to toss her off the ballot. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, she's conceding that she lost. Of course, don't tell them that. I mean, that's
at the same time that she's still trying to get the Supreme Court to hear her madcap theories. Oh, and this is delightful. Clarence with a note, Candace Owens. That young lady is getting her wake-up call. Candy, stay in your lane. Start using the mirrors in your house, sister. Thanks, Clarence.
Hey, Jeremy. You there? I was going to ask him what part of Burlington is the university in?
That's right in Burlington. It's at the top of the top of the hill facing the waterfront. Well, that's not true. It's about a mile from Interstate 89 going uphill, halfway uphill to looking down the lake. But it's definitely squarely in Burlington, and that would be the, I think that's the north end.
North Hill section? Oh, Old North End or North End?
North End.
Okay.
Well, it is time to wrap things up, and I wanted to share a note. Back when we were talking about the Royals, I had a note from Jessica, and it was profound. Oh, my goddess, Roxanne, that's horrible. My beautiful Susan also lost her mother at 10 years old. Let me be clear. My mom survived through sheer force of will. She never had chemo. This was so barbaric back in 1972. She didn't have chemo. Instead, they just fried her with cobalt radiation. My beautiful Susan also lost her mother at 10 years old. Kiddo lost his dad, Susan's late husband, and one of my best friends at 6. I can't even begin to imagine how devastating an experience that is. My sincerest condolences to everyone else in the Horn family community congregation who have lost loved ones like that. And then this. And it's stories like that that stoke my survivor's guilt. I survived cancer twice, and I can't help but question why I survived cancer twice and so many more deserving people didn't. But I try to live for them. I try to honor their lives and memories as best I can. Oh, Jessica. Jessica, thank you. And TJ asked me earlier, I was wondering what you thought about no charges involving Nex Benedict. Because that news came out, the Cracker Barrel prosecutor in the county where Owosso, Oklahoma is, said that he's not going to pursue charges against any of the homicidal miscreants who repeatedly slammed Nex Benedict's head into the hard ceramic tile floor of the restroom at Owosso High School. He said he wasn't going to prosecute them because, as far as he was concerned, it was a case of mutual combat. Mutual combat. Three girls, at least a year, possibly two, maybe 3 years older than next Benedict, and at that age, 3 years makes a big difference, ganged up and beat that child to the point of severe head trauma. The family still does not believe the initial, call it the Bill Barr version of the medical examiner's report, the one-page summary that said, oh, next Benedict OD'd on Prozac and Benadryl. That sounds a hell of a lot more like an accidental overdose, if anything. But Nex's family is utterly disgusted, and they're not accepting of the suicide determination by that medical examiner whose office lost their accreditation in 2009 and has never recovered it since. So if Nex Benedict is to have justice, it will have to come from the Biden DOJ. Now, there's already a Department of Education investigation underway, but it doesn't have the teeth that a criminal investigation by the DOJ criminal division would, or the Civil Rights Division, because the next Benedict was deprived of his civil liberties with extreme prejudice. And there in Oklahoma stand, they just want to sweep it all under the rug. That pissant Cracker Barrel district attorney saying, I don't think I could get a jury to convict anywhere in the great state of Oklahoma stand. It's infuriating. And on top of it all, another story that got my attention today. This one out of Utah. Jesus Christ. An abducted 21-year-old trans guy named Alex Franco was found with a single bullet in his head, his body dumped in the Utah desert somewhere near Lehigh, Nevada. Utah, I'm sorry. Witnesses say in Taylorsville police, and witnesses there say they saw Alex Franco get into a white Jeep, and the next thing they heard was a single gunshot. Police confirmed that the gunshot sound can be heard on video from surveillance cameras. Two juveniles, 15 and 17, well, one juvenile and one, 15 and 17 juveniles, have been arrested and charged with multiple felony charges in Alex Franco's death, which is at present being treated as a possible homicide. No. If anything, it's being treated as a possible murder. Homicide, as I noted earlier, is the killing of any person by another person. It can be self-defense, it can be accidental, it can be negligent, or it can be intentional, in which case it's murder. But that poor boy. And of course, for the bigots out there, it's like, good, one, that's two less of them. And the most sickening part of this account that I read came from Lieutenant Aaron Cheshire of the Taylorsville Police Department, speaking to the press at a conference on Tuesday, the 19th of March. Well, the investigation so far has not revealed that this was a hate crime. The They went on in a press release and said, it was confirmed by the state medical examiner's office on Tuesday that the body found was the person who was reported as abducted. There's a war on, y'all. There really is.
Well, Robin, on a cheerier note, did you hear about the Georgia case with the so-called Goon Squad?
No.
Well, there's a group of officers, I want to say four or six of them, who bragged about giving out justice that wasn't needed.
Oh, God, I think I did see this.
They broke into two guys' house that were living in without a warrant and tortured them for hours on hours, resulting in them shooting one of them in the mouth. Well, all these police officers, ex-officers, were brought to answer for their crimes. And one of the parents of one of the officers said he will take his punishment because he knows he deserves it. And this guy gave a full-hearted apology, a little late, better than never, and you kind of want to believe he meant it. He seemed like he was being honest. He got 20 years. One of the people, I think the guy who shot the guy up, just got 40 years, but they all went away for major time, finally.
Yeah, that it was not Georgia, it was Mississippi. Sheriff's Deputy Brett McAlpin was sentenced yesterday to about 27 years in prison, federal prison. Former Richland Police Officer Joshua Hartfield was sentenced to 10 years. They were all members of the self-described Goon Squad. Between them, all six of these filthy, disgusting animals pled out to a total of 16 felonies. And it was racially motivated. They tortured two black men over, like you said, Jeremy, over the course of hours upon hours. And it was Deadman who got the 10 years. No, Christian Deadman got 40 years. And sentenced on Wednesday said, I want to tell them I'm sorry for what they went through, what they're going through. If I could take every bit of it back, I promise I would.
No, I don't think he got 40 years. I think he got one of the lesser sentences. It was someone else that got the 40 years.
No, I mean, I'm looking at the news article right now. Deadman got 40. Joshua Hartfield got 10.
You're sure the article says Desmond's the one that apologized?
Yes.
He must have been the one that shot the guy then, too. So
well, he was the organizer of both of the attacks.
Oh.
Malik Shabazz, who is the lead counsel representing the victims, Jenkins and Parker, said history was made today in Mississippi. The 40-year prison sentence given to Goon Squad member Christian Deadman by Judge Thomas Lee for the sick and serious crimes committed against our clients, Michael Jenkins and Eddie Parker, made history today. All these Goon Squad sentences are sending a serious message to all rogue police and other Goon Squads all over America that justice is coming to you.
I was slightly reminded of, and we were all still talking at this time, but it was in the early 2000s, maybe 2008, 2010, somewhere in there, when that guy burst into the Amish school and killed a bunch of Amish kids.
Yeah.
And all the parents showed up, and they all forgave him on the spot, said, we're not his final judge. We forgive him. You know, people – and the guy said he's semi-remorseful, sentence whatever. You still kill people. I don't care. So they sent remorseful or forgiving. The neat thing was, in this case, there's echoes of that in this case in wherever you just said it was. One of the two victims came out and said, I've already forgave them. I'm not their judge. So, again, it shows some people have humility, even though they're really the victim. Yeah.
And the one who got 17 and a half years in prison was Daniel Opdyke. He's the one who cried during sentencing and said, so far my time in prison has helped me reflect on how I transformed into the monster I became that night. The weight of my actions and the harm I've caused will haunt me every day. I wish I could take away your suffering.
Okay, he's the one that I was thinking. I'm sorry. He's the one that apologized. I'm sorry. What's the one that got 40? I had them messed up. You're right.
In fact, Merrick the Meek made a statement yesterday saying the depravity of the crimes committed by these defendants cannot be overstated, and they will now spend between 10 and 40 years in prison for their heinous attack on citizens they had sworn to protect. Yeah, now do next, Benedict. Three on one is not mutual combat. Now, these six bastard cops confessed to breaking into a house. Jenkins and Parker were living there. They had no warrant. They did so after a white neighbor said that the men were staying with a white woman and there was suspicious activity. Shades of Emmett Till. They arrested the two men without probable cause. They beat Jenkins and Parker, mocked them with racial slurs, sexually assaulted them with a sex toy, forced them to strip naked and shower together, shocked them with tasers for 90 minutes while they were handcuffed, and then Jenkins was shot in the mouth. Forty years is light. And by the way, all six filthy cops are, of course, white. The charges were civil rights conspiracy, deprivation of rights under color of law, discharge of a firearm during a crime of violence, conspiracy to obstruct justice, and obstruction of justice. And they're still awaiting sentencing on state-level charges.
On the other hand, if you think they're going to get away easy in prison, think of Derek Chauvin. It took a couple of years, but on Christmas Day, someone stabbed him 28 times. Their time will come.
Yeah. And Dedman, Elward, and Opdyke also pleaded guilty to three additional federal felony offenses related to a separate incident that took place on December 4th, 2022. And the and Jenkins and Parker have also filed a notice of claim for a $400 million federal lawsuit. And lawyer Shabazz told ABC, it's in court and we're fighting. Mississippi, goddamn. So again, as we wrap things up, because I've gone long, we got $61 to go to finish fundraising for last Monday. If we raise that, we will be $1,500 in the hole when we begin the program this next Moran Monday, the 25th day of March. All help is good help. There's no such thing as a little bit. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for all the rousing conversation this evening in the around the extraordinary ordinary roundtable. Thanks to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thanks to our all volunteer staff. Thank you, Jeremy. And thank you, Roger. And thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Remember, please like and subscribe to the podcast. I should say that during the middle of the program because people probably miss it at the front and the back. But thank you for those of you who do leave a comment or a like or a review. Thank you so much. Any platform you take it from, the only place I know of that you can't leave a review or a comment is like Spotify. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Remember, WRS will go dark on June the 1st, 2024, after a quarter of a century of literally saving progressive radio. There's a lot of podcasts up there. Dr. Bill's still there. Or at least some of his stuff. And there was a really, really bad hacking incident years ago that hollowed out a lot of White Rose. But I can never thank Ben Birch enough. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 25 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice, and a proud union shop. Note coming in to sort of put a bow on things from Jude. Truly a visual of two perceptions in your storytelling that opened a door, dear Robin. Once again, simplicity of one's inner truth when it's grounded in love while being submerged in the ether of a living breath. Indeed, Robin, it was a sweet reflective story moment, choosing the circle of family, encapsulating a refined energy, expansive beyond this pale blue dot. Appreciate your focus on this front porch. Touched me, sensing other, too. There are moments of our open vessel that brings forth such clarity, Robin. No matter what, I'm under your feet, part of the collective ground. Thank you, Jude. That is so sweet and so kind. Stay safe, y'all. Get your get your COVID booster, or check to see if the next ones are coming around. I don't know what. Maybe I should. I think maybe I'll get mine in May, if it's out by then. Blue shots, still getting cold in places. Don't assume you've dodged a bullet because summer flus suck. Wear your masks if you're around the maggots, because what they've got, you don't want to catch. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance as best you can. And if Nitwit Nero comes towards you saying,
"I'll take you to the Supreme Court, I will.
Ignore him, avoid him like the plague. Because he is. And always, 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 Wayne and Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.